It is 6 o'clock, so we will begin our City of Atascadero City Council meeting. And we actually have three meetings tonight. The City Council regular session, and that will be followed by our successor agency to the Community Redevelopment Agency of Atascadero, followed by the Public Financing Authority. So you could actually stay for three meetings if you'd like. We'll go ahead and call our regular meeting to order, and I'm going to ask you're not the interim chief, you're the acting fire chief, Casey Bryson, if you'd lead us in the flag salute.
Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you. We'll begin with a roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau.
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First item is the approval of the agenda, and my understanding is we do not have any ordinances this evening that will require any special reading. So with that, we will entertain a motion on the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. First item on the agenda will be employee service awards, and these are all wonderful employees. Looking forward to recognize the folks for their time and service. Rochelle, take it away.
Mayor and Council, there we go. If I can have the employees coming up, Captain Miranda, Kelly, Alan Baker, Dave Muehlhausen, Chris Robinson. Did I miss anybody? Come on up. And we'll start with Chris. You can come join me right here. So we originally hired Chris as a reserve firefighter in March of 2011. He had previously worked as a seasonal firefighter with Cal Fire and had also put himself through paramedic school. We were able to steal him away from Cal Fire as a full-time firefighter in August of 2011. Chris brought his invaluable wildland firefighting experience with him and has been a strong asset to the department ever since. He promoted to fire engineer paramedic in May of 2015. He has a strong technical background, not only in wildland firefighting, but in technical rescue as well. He has completed all of his technical rescue courses, including swift water rescue, rope rescue, trench rescue, and confined space rescue. He is an active and valuable member of the North County Technical Rescue Team. Chris is instrumental in the department's emergency medical services program. He's a CPR instructor and recently became a paramedic field training officer. Chris maintains all of our AEDs, automatic external defibrillators, throughout the city. He maintains the department's EMS supplies and ensures all EMS equipment is functioning and up to date. You may recall that Chris was recently recognized here last council meeting with a crew commendation award for his part in saving the life of someone who was trapped on the second floor of a burning home. That is very indicative of his character and personality. He's truly a team player, always happy to be at work, extremely competent, and always eager to jump in or help or support those who need it. Off-duty, Chris keeps busy with home projects and a new puppy and four-wheeling in his Jeep. He and his fiancée, Jamie, are planning their wedding later this year. So we're very excited. Chris has been an invaluable asset to the fire department. Former Chief Stone used to brag about Chris all the time. I don't know if you know that, but he talked a lot about you to me, and we're so happy to have you here as part of the City of Atascadero team. So thank you tremendously. O'Malley. All of the employees love this so much. You can tell by their excited face as they walk up going, yay, I get to be in the spotlight. Kelly Netz is described by Chief Haley as one of the department's finest officers who has repeatedly demonstrated her dedication to the Atascadero Police Department and the law enforcement profession as a whole. Kelly began her employment with the Atascadero Police Department as a police cadet. She was soon hired as a police trainee and attended the police academy. Kelly has also previously served as a field training officer and as a police corporal. Kelly is coordinated and joins in the department's participation in the annual Law Enforcement Torch Run for Special Olympics. By partnering with the school district and other advocacy community groups, she implemented a program that identified individuals with specific needs in our community and a responsible person to be contacted when the department needs help in providing services for those individuals. Kelly was responsible for the reformation of the department's chaplain program and recently implemented a gun safety course for children in our community, which was very well received by both the parents and the children. She is constantly seeking ways to improve the department's service to the community. Kelly was assigned to the investigations unit last year, and she has proven herself to be a tenacious investigator. She routinely takes small bits of information, which she develops into large-scale arrests. In one recent example, Detective Netz successfully worked small leads into one of the largest stolen property cases the department has ever seen. Through her efforts, she was able to recover large amounts of money, jewelry, and other high-value items while clearing a number of open investigations throughout the county. Kelly is an excellent team player, always offering her assistance and support. She is also a wife and mother. Her husband, Paul Netz, is a firefighter with the Atascadero Fire Department, and they have two children. In their off time, the Netz family enjoys four-wheeling off-road adventures in their Jeep and other outdoor activities. So Kelly, again, another wonderful asset here for the city. We love having her as part of the team. We appreciate all you do and bring every day, so thank you very, very, very much. Thank you. Alan, you're next. So this is Alan Baker. He's our zoo director at the Charles Paddock Zoo. And Alan has been here 15 years. During that time, Alan's overseen many upgrades and improvements at the Charles Paddock Zoo, including several very exciting projects that either recently opened or are now underway. He has worked to improve existing exhibits and has spent many hours coordinating arrangements with other AZA-accredited facilities to bring in many of the new animals for us all to enjoy. The zoo is truly undergoing a transformation under Alan's direction. We're proud of our flamingo flock that over the last two summers has successfully mated and produced flamingo chicks. We've recently remodeled our aviary exhibit, which includes new and colorful bird species never before seen at the zoo. We have a new and entertaining group of meerkats that have joined our older remaining meerkat male. There's also the new Madagascar exhibit, which is just the first phase of what will hopefully become a larger Madagascar complex. And we recently broke ground on the new Thelma Vetter Panda exhibit, which will be the first ground-up exhibit entirely newly built to be constructed at the Charles Paddock Zoo in nearly four decades. This is all under Alan's leadership, his tenacious, he's another tenacious employee, in trying to constantly improve the zoo, constantly trying to move it forward, working to make people understand what it is the zoo does, what our mission is, conservation, education, not just entertainment, which is also a wonderful part there. He has also successfully guided us through several complicated and rigorous rounds of the AZA accreditation process, and I think we've talked before about how hard that is. It's Alan's leadership that has brought us accreditation. And he's committed to seeing the zoo truly become a dynamic, fully equipped, and modern zoological conservation and educational center. So thank you to Alan for your dedicated service to the city and to the Charles Paddock Zoo. Thank you. For everything you do. Okay. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dave, you're next. this really isn't that bad, guys. So Dave Muehlhausen is our deputy director and our chief building official, and he has also been with us for 15 years. He's an Atascadero success story, beginning his career with the city as a building inspector. He advanced to senior building inspector, and in recent years, the position of chief building official and deputy director of the Community Development Department. He is an extremely valuable team member and is well known for his excellent building code knowledge and dedication to customer service. He prides himself on always being professional, punctual, and providing straightforward and excellent customer service. He always goes the extra mile to get the job done. Again, I think I've told you some of the stories where Dave and his team have really gone the extra mile. He brings individualized customer service to a new level. He has repeatedly demonstrated his dedication to the city and to overseeing the safety and protection of the built environment. Dave was integral to the successful completion of the rehabilitation of this building, Historic City Hall, working very closely and in partnership with the restoration team on the earthquake retrofit and repair. He heads up the front counter building staff, and he continually strives to make improvements to the permit process with an emphasis toward streamlining and keeping communication between applicants and staff. He demonstrates support of common sense regulations while also maintaining respect to the building code and upholding the city's ethical obligations to enforce the code. Dave excels in looking for solutions to complex code problems and helping applicants solve code conflicts. I like to say Dave is our economic development program. Your attitude is what makes working here with the city of Atascadero so such a wonderful place to try and get a building permit or open a business, so thank you. He stays current with all applicable trends, laws, and policies, and has taken an active role in a wide variety of training programs, both as a key member and as president of the ICC. Dave lives in Atascadero with his wife, Luann, and his two daughters now live in the Bay Area. In his time off, Dave enjoys visits to the Bay Area to see his family, and especially enjoys visits to AT&T Park during baseball season. I won't hold that against you. And thank you, Dave, for your continued service to the city of Atascadero. So thank you, Dave. Last but not least, come on down, Matt. This is Fire Captain Matt Miranda. He's been with the city for 15 years. He began his career with the Atascadero Fire Service in June of 1999 as a reserve and seasonal firefighter. He was hired as a full-time fire in November of 2001, promoted to fire engineer in 2003, and a fire captain in 2009. He is assigned to Fire Station 1 and oversees station personnel and equipment on B shift. Matt currently serves the department as training officer. He is responsible for implementing and organizing all in-house and off-site training for the entire department. He has developed probationary firefighter training that brings a new firefighter from academy levels all the way through to a highly trained member of the department. He is a master instructor for technical rescue classes and has taught technical rescue to many of the firefighters throughout the county. With his interest in technical rescue, Matt was instrumental in developing the North County Technical Rescue Team. This is a team of rescue specialists made up of both Atascadero Fire and Paso Robles Fire personnel. He also coordinated the community fundraising effort to design and build the disaster response trailer. The effort generated over $100,000 to build and outfit this rescue vehicle with top-of-the-line heavy rescue equipment. Matt is a strike team leader and during the summer months is tasked with leading a team of 21 people and 5 engines to attack wildfires throughout the state. Last summer, he spent over 2 weeks as a strike team leader at the Chimney Fire near Lake Los Miento. When Matt is off duty, he spends time working on his house and coaching his kids' soccer and baseball teams. He lives here in town with his Mike, Megan, and their children, Andrew and Clara. So again, another amazing example. I love doing these because of we kind of get to showcase just a little bit of what they bring to the table. Matt has been a wonderful team member. We enjoy working with him and all he brings to the fire department and to the city. So thank you very much, Matt. Thank you. And if I could have the council and the employees step up to the middle here, and we'd like to take a picture, please.
Yes. Good. And you.
Mayor.
Good job. Oh, yeah. Let's see, I get a...
It's always important to stand by the mayor.
Is it? Oh, good. Okay.
Put my hand out for the check.
Yeah. Known to all of us, and they have done remarkable work in our city. We have stories to tell. Many have been told already, but truly a thank you. You've come to all of the council members' attention just from what we've heard from the community and what we've seen you in action. So really a good job. One last handshake for all of you. Thank you. And we're glad that so many family could come out to join in as well. Next item on the agenda is the consent calendar, made up of items considered to be routine in nature, can be voted on without a lot of discussion, unless a council member would like to pull one for more discussion, or any member of the public would like to pull it for further input or discussion. Is there any item any member of the public or council wishes to pull from the consent calendar? If not, I would entertain a motion for the entire calendar to be approved.
I move approval. Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie, seconded by Councilwoman Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Barbeau?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda, updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The first item I'm going to talk about tonight are the recent storms that look like they're going to abate for a little bit, so that's a little bit of good news. Due to the recent high winds and heavy rains, our safety and public works personnel were obviously called out quite a bit over the weekend. And by called out, I think they were called out in the wee hours of Sunday morning and stayed out for quite some time. We had an 8-man crew from our Public Works Department who were extremely busy all day on Sunday from, I believe, about 4 a.m. on. There were numerous reports of fallen trees throughout the city. I think we have some pictures here of trees that fell at the Atascadero Lake Park, Marchanta Avenue, Santa Lucia Road, Santa Rosa Road, Santa Isabel Avenue, Venado Avenue. I think as all of us drive around town, we see a lot of trees cut up and set to the side of the road. That's all the work of our public works crew who do their best to try and get those roads clear and open as soon as possible. Some of these calls involved down power lines and power outages. PG&E crews, again, they were working all through the night to get things open. Also, our crews spent a lot of time going through cleaning up all the drainage culvert. There's a lot of debris that flows down in those heavy flows, especially since we have not seen those. So they're trying to get to all of them also. All city roads are clear at this time, but maintenance staff will be following up and cleaning up the remaining debris this week. There's also been several mudslides. These are all minor, and as of time permits, our crews have been repairing potholes that have been developing for the heavy storm runoff. I'm sure as we drive around town, we've all noticed some. There isn't a place on our website that you can report it. Please give these guys a heads up, because, as I said, there's a lot of deep ones that develop during the storms. There are some road closures. Highway 41 remains closed by Caltrans, and Halcon Road at the Salinas River remains closed. And even though it looks like we'll have a break from the rain with these sunny days, we urge everyone to continue to watch out for possibility of falling limbs and trees. And homeowners are reminded to please keep drains and drainage on their property clear from debris to help prevent obstructions of downstream culverts, which can result in flooding and road washouts. So please, everybody, take a look at those culverts during this break. Make sure that they're clear and able to flow in the next storm event. Tamale Festival, which was as wonderful as I thought it would be 2 weeks ago. We had perfect timing for a little break from the stormy weather on Saturday afternoon for a second annual Tamale Festival, which was held here at the Sunken Gardens and was a huge success. We were extremely pleased with the number of tamale and other vendors, as well as the size of the crowd that came out to enjoy it in spite of the threat of rain. Our early estimates indicate that we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 people in attendance this year and over 15,000 tamales sold. The Kiwanis Club alone sold nearly 1,000 tamales at their booth. So lots of tamales being bought. I know I purchased quite a few. There are lots of live music, dancing, the beautiful Mexican dancing horses, plus tamale judging, with the judge's favorite tamale and the people's choice tamale. And we had reports of very positive comments received from both vendors and visitors, and we've received compliments from people who traveled here for the event. We received compliments from people from L.A., compliments from people from San Jose, and those are just the ones that we've heard from. So if you missed the second annual Tamale Festival, I highly encourage you to put it on your calendar for next year's third annual Tamale Festival, which I know Terry doesn't want me talking about this soon. It will be the third weekend in January. Amazing event. We had over 30 tamale vendors. I know many of you, the four of you, were judges for the tamale contest, and that was a lot of very good tamales that you guys ate. So please, everybody, enjoy that. Speaking of eating a lot, we have Restaurant Month. Seven restaurants in town are participating in Restaurant Month, which runs through January 31st. The seven restaurants are Crazy Sushi Fever, Guest House Grill, Cochise Korean Barbecue, Marston's 101, Scotty's Barbecue, K Pasa Mexican Grill, and Union and Vine. All of these have special menus, most of them fixed-price menus, where you can get a three-course meal for a fixed price and a wonderful deal. Please try and make it out to those participating in Restaurant Month. We have one of the most popular events coming up also, the Father-Daughter Sweetheart Dance. The dance is actually held on two evenings now because it's been so popular. At the Pavilion on the Lake. It'll be Friday, February 3rd from 6:30 to 9:30. Suggested ages are 12 and under for the Friday dance. And then on Saturday, February 4th from 7 to 10 p.m. with suggested ages of 12 and over. Tickets are on sale now at the Colony Park Community Center and are going fast. So if you plan on attending or would like to attend, please get to the Colony Park Community Center to buy your tickets soon. There will be no tickets sold at the door, and these events often sell out, so if you're interested in going to the Father-Daughter Sweetheart Dance, please make your way to the Colony Park Community Center. And we have Downtown Sweetheart Stroll. The event will be held on February 11th from 1 to 4 in the downtown. There will be many local wines available at locations throughout the downtown area, and many downtown merchants will have great specials available for Valentine's Day. The city will be hosting the event this year, and we're looking for downtown merchants to participate. Anyone wishing to participate in the event should contact Terry Banish here at City Hall. Again, that's going to be on February 11th. $20 includes a wine glass, and you may go wine tasting at lots of the participating merchants. It's a nice day and a nice event to walk around the downtown. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Well, thank you. Now, you mentioned Kiwanis sold 1,000 tamales. The question is, how many did Kiwanians eat of that 1,000? I heard about 800, but they did pay for them, so that's great. And I do think I'm glad you brought up Restaurant Month. This is something that's been a priority to our whole city council and the Tourism Business Improvement District Board, made up of the lodging industry. Both entities contributed funding to be so that our restaurants could participate in the Restaurant Month, something that our restaurants hadn't really done 2 years ago, and last year and this year. And if you look at the brochure countywide, we actually have as many restaurants represented as we were ahead of most cities. I think San Luis had more. We were right there with Paso, and I think every other city was trailing. And we do have a lot more places to eat in town, and we should definitely be out supporting them. So thank you for that report. Is there any other council members wishing to comment? Then we will move on to the next item, which is the community forum, which is an opportunity for any of you to speak to us on any item that is not on the agenda, but is under our jurisdiction. We just ask that you state your name and please come forward. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Richard Moen, and I live here in Atascadero. I fortunately live on one of the streets, one of the major streets in town that was paved probably about 20 years ago, but it has held up very nice, and I really am grateful for that. And I've also been very thankful for our rain that we've had, but our rain has really brought out some really serious problems in some of our infrastructure, primarily the roads. I know that a couple of years ago we passed a 0.5% sales tax to be used on roads, and when I spoke about this a couple months ago, I think I was told that there were two measures on the ballot, one for the 0.5%, and then one where did they want the money to go, to major roads or some of the auxiliary roads that feed into them, and I was under the impression that it went to the smaller roads. It was also said at that time that Atascadero was looking for some possible future funding coming up that they would be able to use for some of our major roads in town. I think it was Measure J was voted down, so I'm assuming that that was what you were, part of it, what you were referring to. Since we're not going to have that money, I think it's really would behoove the city council to rethink how we want our roads to go. You spoke about tourism. Most of the people that come here as tourists do not come and drive the little small streets in town. They drive our major streets. We have San Anselmo, we have Del Rio, San Gabriel, Santa Lucia, just some of our major streets that are in serious need of repair now. And I would really recommend to the city council that maybe we think about doing those streets and other major streets, not the little ones that feed into them, that maybe a dozen or two or so houses are on, but all those dozen and two houses back up, and now we're talking hundreds of people using our major streets. And I think that's really important for us to have a good infrastructure here, not only for me, the person has to pay for the realignment of my car, but for our fire and our police departments also, that they don't have to be looking out for potholes. The other thing that the rains kind of brought to my attention, we were driving down El Camino here on one of the evenings, and I noticed how difficult it was with the rain to see the lines on the road. There were no lines on the road. And where were we? Were we it was down past near Kennedy's down there. Were we in our line? Were we in across the center? We just stayed to the right as far as we could. So possibly on our major roads too, an addition of like the BOTS dots. I'm sure that's not the appropriate or the real name for them, but those for our major streets. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers wishing to approach? Seeing no one coming forward, we'll close the community forum, bring it back to the council. I would add a few words, and perhaps our city engineer could add a word or two. But without belaboring the point, Mr. Mullins, you won't find anyone disagreeing with you up here. Roads has always been a priority for every council in the city of Atascadero since I've ever watched them, and it's certainly a priority to us. It was a disappointment to some of us that Measure J did not pass. We are now down to only 8% of the population statewide that doesn't have what's called a self-help means, and does make it a little less competitive for getting state funds. A number of us were just up at League of California Cities in Sacramento. We sat down specifically with our assembly person and Senator Monning, who is the Senate Majority Leader, and roads was our top priority for discussion. I am not very optimistic about the state of California. They've taken this up, and it has not come forward yet. It is the top priority for League of California City. Every city in the state has put roads as a priority. Now, our city has done fairly well in the past. Back when I was chairperson of the Council of Governments, we got the last fully funded overpass in the county. It was 41-101, and there hasn't been one since in the county. It is a challenge, but I know the county supervisors is looking at prioritizing roads a little bit more, maybe to help on some of those major intersections. It'll be something that our city looks at, but I can tell you we are in complete agreement. Roads are a priority. It's fundamental for economic development. We're going to do what we can wherever we can, and we're working on that. I don't know, in a general term, if our city engineer would like to add a word anywhere in there.
Sure, I sure can, Mayor O'Malley. Thank you for that comment, and it's one of my concerns, too. I mean, with the rain, especially this winter, it's really, you know, the roads that were in kind of not such great shape, you know, have had a lot of the drainage come across, wash out the fines and, you know, the polished surfaces and everything. And really, it's funny, when I've driven around town a lot, and it's given me a lot of perspective on the roads in town lately. I actually, last council meeting, I went home, and I think it was downpouring that night, and I actually drove around for about 45 minutes and got home about midnight. My wife's at work, you know, went that long. No, I was driving around town. But some of the roads that you had mentioned, and I'm not sure what road you're specifically, but El Camino Real up by Kennedy Fitness up there, it is. It's a pretty rough road. It's one of those areas, it is on the CIP currently to be repaired. With the potential Walmart project coming, they're actually conditioned to improve some of that roadway down that area. We also have San Anselmo that's right there on the east portion that goes from El Camino that's also already on the capital improvement program. And some of these things we've been kind of waiting to let Walmart come in, do their work, including a traffic signal at San Anselmo at that intersection. But we will be looking at, you know, which roads are going to be on the next cycle of roadways through the budget process, which will start any day now. So I guess I would encourage you to kind of watch upcoming meetings, because we will be talking about the roads that'll be on the next five-year capital improvement program.
Thank you. Any council comments on that before we move on to management reports? Go ahead, Councilwoman Fonzi.
Yes, I was wondering if you could refresh our collective memory. When we passed our sales tax measure for local roads, wasn't it specifically in the ballot measure that it was going to be used for the smaller roads, so we couldn't use it on the larger roads?
So Measure E14 asked the voters, should the Measure F14 proceeds go towards local road improvements and repairs. It didn't really specifically say, you know, just the neighborhood roads or the collectors, but it would be actually arterials, I believe, would be candidates for the money. But I think what the council heard at that time was folks wanted their roadways that they lived on, that they travel to the arterials to be repaired first.
Thank you.
Maybe the city manager can elaborate.
When you were developing and deciding how to place what we wanted to place on the ballot measure, that was one of the things we did frequently ask question, you know, would this money be used for these types of things? At that time, you did state that you would prefer to use it on local and arterial roads and that you would try not to use it for collectors. As you know, it is a general tax. You can change that, but it was very clear that the preference from polling was for the local roads at that point. We do still continue to receive other street funds. We are targeting those. Those do tend to go more towards the arterials and collectors because we are those are more competitive for various grants and stuff. So it's not like we're ignoring the major roads just for the small ones. We're doing a combination of both.
Thank you. And I would just add that though state funding looks bleak, federal funding looks like it may have more possibilities. And another thing to keep in mind, one thing, since our city has implemented what we call full cost recovery on development impact fees, as well as state law requires that when commercial is developed, they have to mitigate any increased traffic that they produce. So that's why, for example, around Del Rio is a pretty ideal area for development because it's primarily undeveloped. So Walmart is required to make a number of development improvements on the roads. They will completely pay, no cap, whatever it costs to do one of the roundabouts and all the street improvements along El Camino. But then the other in development on another corner like the Annex, the other businesses coming in would be required to cover the cost. So the commercial aspects, we have a lot more potential to get funding, and it's something that development community wants to do because they also recognize they really depend on customers getting to their store. So it's not quite as bleak if you consider that we would like to front load and invest in helping to attract more businesses, but we are very competitive for other reasons that we still see businesses coming that are willing to invest, and that includes on some of the infrastructure. So there is some help on a couple of fronts. Councilwoman Moreno had some thoughts.
I just want to let Mr. Mullen know, if you go online, you can actually see the capital improvement plan for a five-year period. Are we, Director, are we 2 years into that right now?
We're two years
into the five-year. But you can see for both the F-14 funds, the roads that are scheduled for rehabilitation and maintenance, and then you can also see the non-F-14, so meaning all the other money that the city manager talked about, that had always been used for roads that we, as a council, promised we would not supplant with F-14. We still continue to use that for roads, and as she said, that goes for more of those larger roads. And you can see the capital improvement plan for that money as well.
And you can see that we are passionate on this topic, and our city attorney has given us a little leeway because normally we don't have as much interaction on something that's not on the agenda. It will be coming up more, but we have a fairly light agenda tonight, and we're passionate about it, so we had to tell you what we were thinking anyway. Thank you for bringing that up. Moving on to, we have no public hearings on the agenda. We do have a couple of management reports. First will be on the fiscal year 2015-2016 audit, and I expect that will take about an hour to review. As I was kidding our newest council member, 10 minutes for the presentation, 50 minutes for his questions, but just kidding.
I see all the Post-its over here.
Lots of Post-its. We're very privileged to have two very strong fiscal, we're pretty darn good fiscally, but we have two very strong fiscal persons on the council. They do their homework, and usually their questions are very good, and we welcome them. But that will take a bit to go through that report, and then the next report will be on marketing, and that also could take about 45 minutes, just so folks know, and there's lots of fun things to look forward to that. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our our fiscal audit first, and Jerry Rangel, our Administrative Services Director, take it away.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Thank you, Council. So tonight we are looking at the 2015-16 audit, the audited financial statements. We do have Mr. Travis Hull here from Moss Levy. He's a partner with a firm, and he will be able to answer any questions afterwards if you have anything for him. So as I said, Moss Levy and Hartzheim are independent auditors. They're out of Santa Maria. Mr. Hull and his team came out in October and did some work in the summer and reviewed a bunch of things, and we've been working with them since then to get these financial statements pulled together. The audit was conducted in accordance with the auditing standards generally accepted in the United States and standards applicable to financial audits contained in the government auditing standards issued by the Comptroller General of the United States. The auditors issued an unqualified opinion, which is what we call a clean opinion, which means that they agree that the financial statements accurately represent the situation of our city, and they are in compliance with accounting principles. The financial performance for the city was actually really well. They did really much better than we expected, which I think we've talked about in a couple of earlier council meetings across the board. So we've done well all over the place, and tonight we're going to focus on the general fund. As we were just kind of discussing about the sales tax measure, F14, that is a general tax, so it is included in all of the general fund numbers in our financial statements. We do keep that separate in our accounting system, so we can segregate that out, as you see here on this table. But we do have to include it for in the general fund for reporting purposes, so that will be in there. The general fund is the fund in which most of the council has most discretion in spending. It has the property tax and the sales tax are all get entered into that fund, and that's where the majority of the operational expenses come from. The measure F14 activity produced a positive increase of about $1.9 million for the year, which is a little bit more than we anticipated. We took a little while to get our projects kind of off the ground a little bit this year, but we are working on getting that money spent. There was about $2.3 or $2.4 million of those funds in the general fund at the end of the year, which will roll forward into the current year for spending. So Director DeBar is working hard on spending that money on our roads. The general fund activity excluding the F14 funds left us with about $800 in positive revenue, $800,000 at the end of the year. We were kind of anticipating a negative $425,000 with a seven-year forecast that we did a couple of years ago for the budget process. So it's been a pretty positive swing for us, about a 1.2 positive swing. That's really significant. It'll help us kind of build up our general fund balance, which is the idea of our financial strategy that we've had all along, to kind of use that up as we need it and then build it back up when we can. So that'll benefit us going forward. This is a little bit small, but I just want to kind of give you an idea. It's a comparison financials from 2014-15, 2015-16, kind of to get just an idea on trending. Essentially, what this is saying is some of our more major deviations from the prior year to the current year are in property tax revenue, sales tax revenue, what we call other taxes, and other revenues. Property tax revenues are pretty important to our city. They're about 40 to 45% of our general fund revenue. So we did see an increase, an overall increase of about 5.6% this year, which is pretty positive, so we're good to see it moving in a positive direction. It's about $443,000 for the year. And a lot of this was in the secured property tax, which is one of our more stable components of that. So we are seeing this increase due to the upswing in the economy, some reclaiming of some of our Proposition 8 write-downs, and, of course, due to the economic development, the focus of the council on economic development activity. assessed valuations are expected to continue a slow and steady growth. So we'll look at that more as we get into the budget process. Other sales or other general fund revenues, sales tax revenue, excluding Measure F-14, of course, the straight dollar increase over the prior year was about $384,000. Part of that was a bump that we got from the triple flip resolution. So we got our final payment for the triple flip from the state. And if you take that kind of one-time money out of there, it was about $150,000 increase over the prior year, which was a slight increase, so that was good. We're moving in a positive direction. We're not expecting a whole lot of strong increases from the our sales tax consultant is saying it's growing kind of slow, but we are going in a positive direction, so that'll be good. TOT revenue, however, was up about $387,000 over the prior year, and that's about $272,000 more than we had expected. So that's nice, strong growth for us. So and that all is, of course, all local money, so we're happy to see that growth. And then donations was another one of what we call other revenue. Donations are not typically the same from year to year. They change based on what's happening. We just happen to have exceptionally large donations in 2014-15 that we didn't have quite as large in 15-16. As far as general fund expenses, we were pretty close to the prior year. They were up about $82,000, which is not a whole lot more over the prior year. Employee services was about 1.3 higher than the prior year. And 4% under what we had budgeted. The savings were due to a couple of things, some vacancies that we had and some of the areas where we filled a position with an employee that had a, you know, was lower on the scale than the prior employee. And then we had budgeted for some healthcare increases and they came in a little bit less than what we had anticipated the increase would be. So we had some savings on that as well. Operating budgets continue to be tight. They were about $344,000 over the prior year, but that underlying trend is going to be reflecting an increase in costs overall as we see the economy picking up and just the kind of unsustainably low operating expenses. If you'll recall, we've been trying to keep them down since the economy kind of took a dive, and we've been slowly increasing those up a little bit, but it's getting pretty hard for the departments to keep that kind of low level. So we'll have to look at that also as we get into the budget process. Special projects and capital outlay, again, they're not very trend-like. They don't really lend themselves to a predictable trend line from year to year. These are one-time purchases. And sometimes they have a corresponding one-time revenue that goes along with them. Both categories vary based on the needs, and in most cases when we see purchases under budget, either that item didn't get purchased at that time, or less often we found another funding source for that item. Changes in accounting standards. So this is such a fun one. So the Governmental Accounting Standards Board is the board that sets the rules and principles that governmental accounting has to follow. And I'm sure Mr. Hull can elaborate on this more with us. But we did adopt four new statements for the year, 72, 76, 79, and 82. They had minimal effect on the financial statements. The bigger impact is going to be from GASB 68 and Statement 68 and Statement 71. We implemented those last year, so, well, prior fiscal year, so 2014-15. They continue to have an impact on the current financial statements. So the purpose of those from GASB's perspective was really to provide transparency. From my perspective, I'm not really sure that that does that. It's a pretty confusing, complicated, and technical issue. But the purpose is to provide transparency in the pensions and to provide information on net pension liability and those sorts of things. Currently, we have two different types of reports that we get from CalPERS. We get an annual actuary report that's our funding report, essentially, that tells us how much we need to pay in the upcoming years. And then now we also get an accounting valuation report, which provides information on how we need to report in our financial statements, our net pension liability, deferred inflows and outflows. So these are two different types of reports we get from CalPERS. They have different numbers, essentially. They're evaluated different. They're used for different purposes. So it can get a little bit confusing. In addition to that, for this year, last year was our first year of implementation, so we did get entity-specific reports from GAS or from CalPERS. So we had an entity-specific report on the GASB 68 accounting valuation for each of our plans. In the current year, the 15-16, we got one report from CalPERS for the pool that we are in. So both all of our plans are in one multi-employer cost-sharing pool. So that pool produced one report that we got from CalPERS. And then, we have two, a miscellaneous and a safety, but they are in the same pool. So we got two reports. And on top of that, we needed to hire an actuary to do additional information specific for the city's accounting valuation to produce in our financial statements. So we have done all of that. The new CalPERS reports, accounting valuations, use fiscally conservative pensions measurements and amortize economic gains and losses over demographic changes over an accelerated period. So essentially, it just takes all of this information and kind of allocates it out over time. So be happy to answer any questions as you go through the report on that. It can get kind of complicated. But what ends up at the end of the year is a net pension liability for the city of about $19.1 million in accounting valuation terms. So this is about $2.9 million increase over the prior year, and the bulk of that really is due to some changes from CalPERS. So about $2.5 million of that increase is a change in CalPERS methodology, so the way that they allocate the pool's liability to each of the entities. So they're still trying to figure out how to allocate this, how to approach it, how the details and understanding what the GASB 68 statement means. So we're kind of seeing some tweaks and adjustments as this moves along. So hopefully the drastic changes will kind of minimize. Some of the change was also due to the CalPERS investment returns that weren't as strong as they anticipated that they would be. The city did pay almost $1.1 million toward its unfunded accrued liability during the fiscal year. And just wanted to notate that the change in the net pension liability, that is kind of a CalPERS-based change. It doesn't mean that the city increased its benefits to employees or something significantly that caused this change. It was just a change in allocation in our pool. And that concludes my report. If you have any questions for me or for Mr. Hull, we're available for this.
Very good. Any council questions? Oh, unfortunately, your light doesn't work, Charles. Well, let me do an introduction for you, because again, I want to belabor this a little bit. I am very pleased with our city's support that we have in the area of finances, and I want to just remind folks: our city treasurer is Jerry Seebach, retired county auditor, a certified public accountant. Our finance committee we have, made up of two council members. Again, chairing that is Heather Moreno, a businesswoman and a certified public accountant. Charles Brabeau is a former finance director for the city of San Luis Obispo. Forget all of us that have some business experience. We're putting the experts to work on that task. But also our finance team is very strong, and we do have another one of your members of the team in the audience, I believe, here, but all of them are very hardworking, very diligent, put in long hours, way more than we're paying for, I have to admit, but very strong team. And then if you add in our city manager, who's a former finance director, is also a certified public accountant. I think we have more certified public accountants. Well, maybe not more than your firm, but it's a pretty impressive resume of the folks we have at our city on finance. So it does give me a lot of confidence, even if there's challenges from the state now and then. It's a very strong team. So with that introduction, I'm going to turn it over to one of our strong members of the finance team, Mr. Burbeau. Questions?
And lucky for you, I spent about an hour and 15 minutes this morning asking a lot of detailed questions of our city manager, who, of course, has a great deal of expertise in this. So I won't belabor, you know, this with a ton of questions. All my sticky notes are basically taken care of. What I wanted to try to understand a little better, though, is this net pension liability. I've read CalPERS actuarial reports, and I actually understand them. But for the life of me, I could not understand this actuarial report prepared by Bartell and Associates. And I've worked with Bartell and Associates, and they're normally, they can explain things halfway decently. But I'm concerned about a couple things. One is that the discount rate, and this is on page 59 and 60, that's being used here is 7.65. And, of course, CalPERS' discount rate is 7.5. And I understand you explain it, and you know that GASB 68 says, you know, use this number net of administrative expenses. But I mean, that frankly doesn't make a lot of sense. And I want to make sure I understand. So these two reports, we say one is for accounting purposes, and one is for contribution purposes. It's the actual aerial report is being used for these financial statement. For the accounting purposes or these financial statement purposes, is that correct?
Yes, I mean that 7.65 comes straight from PERS. That's not anything right. That Bartell changed or anything like that.
Right.
You know, we just kind of are at PERS's mercy when it comes
right.
to that.
I read on PERS website not how they came up with it, but you know how it was in compliance with 68. I guess the thing I would just like to make sure that everybody else in the council sees is that on page 60 is what our net pension liability is currently at $19 million, which is up $2.7 million from the previous year, but that what it would be with the lower discount rate, because PERS has actually taken action to lower the discount rate and has had further plans to lower it further ultimately to 6.5. And so you can see that when that occurs, we're looking at an additional $10 million of net pension liability. And that is just something, you know, that's additional cost we're going to have to, you know, come up with over the years. And the other thing is, though, that there's a lot of good news in this financial report, both in terms of how much we've, our revenues, our actual revenues exceeded our estimates, how we're keeping costs down in terms of our overall liabilities other than pensions, et cetera. So I'm actually think there's a lot of good news in this report, and my, you know, numerous sticky notes, as you noted, Mayor, I've already had those addressed, so I don't need to take up 50 minutes of questions.
Well, I'm very pleased that our staff could give you answers to your questions, and we'll move on to Councilman Sturdivant with some questions.
Yes, yeah, excellent job on this. Question about the $1.1 million pay down or buy down that you had talked about. Could you just clarify what that was? That in addition to the payments that we as a city make towards PERS, or was that just a one-time buy down, or what exactly was that?
So starting, I believe this is the second year. Help me out here, Travis. The CalPERS have changed the way that our contributions go. So now we pay what they call a normal rate. And so that's paid with each payroll based on what our payroll amount is, based on the rates that they give us in advance in our actuarial funding report. And then we have, in addition to that, part of our normal cost is a flat rate dollar amount that we pay toward our unfunded liability. So in this case, it was about a million and some change for both safety and miscellaneous. So CalPERS does give cities the option to pay that in advance in July or pay it in with interest throughout the year every month. So that is in addition to our typical payments.
Okay, thank you.
Councilwoman Fonzie.
Going away from the pension issues, I wanted to ask you a question about the TOT. It went up significantly. Was that based on an increase in the amount of stays that we had, or was it based on increasing the actual TOT that was charged per room?
The TOT is actually still a flat amount, so the TBIT amount, that 2%, is accounted for in a different fund. So this is just the 10%, so it is additional stays. I believe there's an additional
I was hoping you would say
well.
That. Okay, thank you.
Well, and I will add to that. I think with the transient occupancy tax increase close to $400,000, I know if you recall a couple of years ago we were wanting to invest in a marketing and promotions program. Folks at the time kind of thought we were all nuts because it didn't seem like there was potential for us to gain in this market. However, shortly after then, we had a Marriott announced they were building, and we since then have another one or two interested. And we have focused on increasing activities, and so those funds have really been offset. What's very nice is in that 10% transient occupancy tax is a set percent. The lodging industry agreed to basically pay an additional 2% at the city level and 1% at the county level. So that's 3% going to marketing and promotion is on top of the money that is going to the city. So that is a help. And I think it's good to remember that TOT of close to $400,000 also produces a multiplier effect because that represents how much more money is spent. That's 10% of what people are spending to come and stay in our city. Those same people are going to go to a restaurant, maybe they're going to go to an event, and they're spending additional funds that could have an impact in other areas. So you're right in your assessment that it's good news for Atascadero. Councilman Moreno, did you have a follow-up?
Yeah. Thank you for that very thorough report and for all the just a significant amount of hours you and your team are putting in right now. I know it's a lot, and it's not stopping right now. You're just kind of gearing up. Just a couple of questions. When you say if we're looking at note 8 with back to CalPERS, and of course, you know, it could be $19 million, it could be $29 million. It's interesting that we put and it could be $10 million, right? The likelihood of that happening is slim, but we really never know over the long haul what CalPERS is going to do, what sort of assumptions and things that they're going to come out with. So it's really, you know, best guess. And just assuring the public, it's not that, again, as the director said, we haven't, you know, given a bunch of new benefits that we're trying to pay for. It's just simply the assumptions that CalPERS uses that can increase or decrease that, and something that we owe in the future. I mean, it's a liability, but it's not something that becomes due and payable, you know, next week. So in looking at this, does this include, you had said all pools, so I want to make sure I understand correctly. I know we have, you know, safety and miscellaneous and all of that, but I know we have previous pools from different, and I'm not as well versed in this terminology, but I think you know what I'm talking about. You and I had a conversation probably a year or two ago about past pools, and now we're in different pools, and is this all one big pool is what I'm trying to get at?
Yes, it is. So it has been combined. So previously we did have an unfunded liability dollar amount per plan, and that was kind of what we were working towards with this additional $1.1 million that we paid. So now that all of our plans are included in this one pool that PERS, it's mandated, so it's depending on the size of your plan, it is determined whether you are in the pool or not. So both our safety and miscellaneous are in this larger pool. So that $19 million that we were talking about is everything.
and the prior pools from years and years ago that we were in that we still had things sitting out there for, that's all part of this as well?
Correct.
Okay, that helps. And then, sir, thank you for being here.
No problem.
No, it's a bit of a drive for you. I don't even know if you can answer this, but as I'm looking at Note 8, and we're looking at the asset classes of the investments that CalPERS has, and it shows rate of return. So years 1 through 10, is that basically saying that's the average rate of return each, you know, over that 10-year period?
Sorry, which page are you on?
Page 60.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they expect. So a lot of these notes come straight from PERS, so they just kind of send them to us and say, hey, you know, include this with the financial statements.
So what's a little discouraging is that they show, I mean, if you were to, you know, prorate all of this, which I haven't done, you would be well under 7%.
I think it's more likely that the rate goes down than up. So, I mean,
yeah,
the
no,
$29
I'm sure.
million is more likely.
But let's
than
say it
million.
Even goes to 6.65. There's only one thing here, one investment here they show being making more than that. And I take it the city has no input as to where. I mean, CalPERS invests horribly. Do you all know that? I mean, this is awful. This is absolutely awful. And all of us are suffering the consequences from that. Okay, you can't do anything about that. But I want to make sure I'm clear on that. Yep. Will you be issuing a management letter? Do you do that?
Yes, yeah, so we issued a letter, and I'm not sure if it was part of the council packet.
Well, I know you did the internal controls, which
yeah,
that
so
was great to see
that
you know, so your review went.
Correct, yeah. So there were no internal control findings from any of our findings this year. As far as a single audit for this year, we don't need to do one. The city was under $750,000 of federal expenditures, so we won't be doing that. So as far as letters from us.
And I just didn't know if you did a management letter, and maybe that's something you don't do in government. Maybe it's an old thing that we did in the old days, and I'm dating myself.
Yes, yeah, as far as letters, you've
no,
gotten
okay.
everything you'll be getting.
Okay, no management letter. All right, thank you.
Well, you can't date yourself that much, Heather.
That's true.
Well, any other council questions on this report? I take more of a global view of the situation we're in, and let me just check with you to see if my perception is somewhat accurate. But we can kind of look at the cost side and the revenue side. And as far as the cost accounting side, I think it's been pretty clear we are in agreement. There's not a thing we can do about how CalPERS computes things.
Correct.
The number could go up, it could go down. We believe in usually they're counter-cyclical. If they get scared, they bump it up and usually overreact, and then if anything, it's going to come back down. But in any case, there's nothing we could do or say that's going to change their behavior. Is that a reasonable assumption?
That is correct.
So I've always focused on, if you can't do anything about the cost side, as I've always said since I've been on council, I want to do cost money. I got to focus on making money. That's what our council is focused on. We've focused on increasing revenue. So that is really the best thing we can do. We have some control over that. And as we focus on the revenue side, and as we can see, we've been successful, things are going up, and directly to a relation of some investment. We invested in the area that might stimulate TOT. TOT has increased. And then I kind of take a look at our financial strategy. There's kind of two things you can do with your money. You can save it or you can spend it. Now, we've kind of done a split between, we've always had a conservative council where we've always saved considerable amount of reserves. That's why we got through tough times. And we are now at a point where we can start building those reserves back up. So if we're way off, we have something to deal with those unforeseen things. And then the other part of that equation is we're going to spend some money. And again, 70% of what we do in the city is going to spend money on staffing. People could say, well, just don't spend money on staffing. But we're a service industry, and our focus is on economic development. So we just gave some recognition to some planning staff that are out there processing more building permits than anybody else in the county, and that's how we produce that revenue. You get a motel open early, you get more TOT. So I think it's a reasonable approach that our budget has, that we're saving some money for those unforeseen, unpredictable, and we're investing money in infrastructure and in staffing that is really focused on economic development to increase revenue. And that's kind of is that a reasonable description of our basic economic philosophy or strategy?
I believe it is.
Okay, well, you, of course, would say that because you're brilliant. And I think then, as far as we won't get a typical, as much as we had before in terms of a formal audit where there's a lot of review because there just hasn't been as much economic activity on the expenditure side. Is kind of what I drew from what you said.
Correct, yeah. So with the federal money, a lot of it was the FEMA money that you know, was being expended by the city. So now that that's tapering off, you know, with transit and other federal money that you get, they did up the limit from 500 to 750, too, because there were just so many federal audits that were being done. They really wanted to lower that amount. So they upped the number, and that luckily got the city under the threshold.
Very good. Any other council questions before we go to the public? Again, I think all council said really good job, staff. That's a really good work. With that, we'll open it up to the public. So any of you that would like to ask a question on any item, see if you can ask a better question than our financial gurus here. Be great. We'd welcome those questions. Some business person in the audience who would just love to answer, ask a question. This would be your chance. We have stumped the experts. We are okay, I guess. Well, thank you for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
Is there any concluding remarks from either our finance director or our city manager before we can entertain a motion just to accept the staff report?
No, I didn't know if our auditor wanted to make any remarks, or is there anything...
Just to go into a little bit of the testing that we did this last year, a little more specifically. So every year we pick specific sites that we want to visit, just to kind of visit every site that's collecting cash, every few years, just to make sure everything's going the way it should be. So during this fiscal year, we went out to the zoo, we tested community development, we went to the fire department and the pavilion. We did detailed testing of all of those departments, and everything came back, clean. So. Just a testament to the staff at those sites and just the finance staff overall.
So everybody is accurately handling the money that they are processing.
Yep.
Good. We'd expect that. I think you just need a motion from us accepting the finance report. So that should come from this side over here.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I will move that the council accept the financial audit for the period of June 30th, ending June 30th, 2016.
I will second.
All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Burbeau and seconded by Councilwoman Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Burbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And thank you all. And thank you for the finance team. And please pass on to your whole team. Thank them for their efforts throughout the year. Next item is the city manager marketing update. And as we've already heard, you're successful because you've generated so much revenue. So with that as a prelude, we have our deputy city manager, Terry Banish, giving a report.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. I'll follow Jerry more often. All right, so we're going to walk you through a little bit of history, mainly for Charles, so you can see all the different things that you have accomplished. And there's quite a bit. All right.
I did read the whole report, though, by the way. So.
I know, but it's a huge progress that you've made. So we are going to give the marketing presentation overview, but we'll dive into the history just a little bit and quickly, and then I'll turn it over to the tourism marketing plan review with Verdon Marketing. Timely coming in the door. See how we coordinated that? The city's marketing plan will then be reviewed, as well as our staff recommendation and questions. Okay, so as we walk through the history, we have four workshops beginning August 29th of 2014, leading up to creating and developing a solid roadmap. That roadmap led us to the game plan, the tourism and promotions game plan, in mid-2015. In 2015, the whole goal was to build the foundation, and we did that. We established the infrastructure, the brand, and the marketing plan. And then in 2016, we were building the momentum. And we implemented the plan and measured the success of all the things that we did. And this will show you all of our success in this presentation this evening. In 2017, we'll continue to build on our success and measure TOT like we have, the sales tax that we just heard about, also event attendance as well as zoo attendance and website growth. Another four meetings later, we approved our marketing plan for both the city and the tourism board, and we adopted the Visit Atascadero logo and color palette. That sounded really easy, didn't it? And we know how much work went into that. We have our Visit Atascadero identity, we established our vision, as well as our value proposition, and our color palette. Our goals are pretty well defined. We have the city's marketing plan to stay, spend, and enjoy our town, and the tourism marketing plan to come, sleep, and spend. Both of the marketing plans established and the brand itself had a lot of work to do, and we've really put that brand to work. And then every quarter we've been giving an update on where we are, and then today we'll give an update on quarter four as well as 2016 overall. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this over to Verden. Welcome, Stephanie Goodwin, who's our accounting manager for the Tourism Board.
Hi there. Got here right in time.
Well, welcome. And of course, you missed the finance report before this, so your first test question, how much did TOT increase in Atascadero in the last fiscal year?
Over 2015 to 2016, it was 38%.
Okay, you're off the hook. Good job.
You know I know that. So thank you. I'm Stephanie Goodwin. I'm with Verden Marketing, and Mary Verden's here with me tonight, and Ashley Akers. And we're happy to present our calendar 2016 review with you. Like Terry said, a lot of great things happened in 2016. And we're happy just to build this momentum that we had in 2015 and continue 2017. So just a reminder of our goals are to increase overnight stays in Atascadero, build Atascadero, California brand awareness, and target new visitors to engage in programs and increase awareness. So everything we do comes back to these goals. We always keep these in mind. All right, so here's what I'll talk about tonight. Our personas and creatives, social media, website, public relations, our TOT and goal measurements, and awards. So personas, we decided on three main personas for 2016. What we like to do at Verden is actually create kind of real life people around these personas and give them names, talk about what they're interested in, how they consume media, how we can get our information directly to them most effectively. So this is in addition to our geolocations. With our marketing, we were really focusing on Los Angeles, San Francisco, and the Central Valley. But with that, we've defined these personas, and they're behavior-based. So we have families and multi-generational travelers, group travelers and couples, and boomers. And so you'll see how we're speaking to these people through our creative. So we actually had four creative campaigns through 2016 into 2017. On our first, we presented this last time, but you'll remember we had a pairing. It's called the Relax and Sip on the 101 Road Trip. So we paired some sips with some fun activities. And really what we'd like to do with our creative is create and paint a picture of the destination, because we know that's what sells people to come to our location, not just hotel stays, but really the personality behind a destination. We always want to showcase that. It works really well to showcase in pictures. So our next is our Welcome to Atascadero campaign, and that was in the spring, and we really focused on those families. And so we want to encourage families to come and stay during like spring break and the summer break and get them thinking about that. So this ad creative came to life in a carousel on Facebook, so you can see this kind of animates and where what memories will you make with your family? Start planning your trip today. Welcome to family time. Welcome to Happy Trails. Welcome to Atascadero. So those are nice, simple, our value-driven messaging with our families. This is our summer creative, so creating summer memories. Again, we were targeting families. We were also targeting multi-generational travelers because we know they have summer breaks. And again, invest in family. So don't just invest in stuff, invest in memories. And you can really do, what a better destination to invest in memories. And this is our, does this animate? Nope. This is our unvacation for fall. So we were encouraging people to think about taking an unvacation. So coming to Atascadero and taking a vacation is unlike other vacations you'll have. It's uninhibited. We had two of these ads that animate, but they're not doing it right now. So we're targeting millennials with the two ads and then our boomer travelers with the third ad. So unpretentious, uncluttered, unhurried. That's our on vacation in Atascadero. And this is a little sneak peek of what's running right now. So this is my Atascadero campaign, and we've enlisted local ambassadors to talk about the destination. So we went out and went to different businesses and talked to them about why they love Atascadero and why other people would too. And there's some parenthetical asides at the bottom of that too that are fun and bring out the personality. So we really like that. These creatives are running on Facebook now. We've paired this with a contest too, and in my 2017 review, I'll be happy to report about this. So, I love that woman. She's so cute. We also did some advertising collaborations, so with Visit San Luis Obispo County and with the city, so Terry and I worked closely together on those. So these are print creatives, and I have another slide of those. At Verdin, we really focused our advertising on digital outlets. So we use Facebook, TripAdvisor, Pandora, and Spectrum digital retargeting ads. And we were really able to hone in on, and focus on our personas that way. So here are some of our advertising highlights. And I won't go through all the impressions, but I'll focus on the total impressions. And what we're really excited about is that almost or more than 7 million people, potential targeted visitors, had seen our messaging throughout the year. All right, our website, you may know that we recently launched a new Visit Atascadero website. So this is how Clever Concepts, who built the website, pulled in our creative and our brand identity that Terry was just talking about into the new website, and we're loving it. And it's a constant, work of art. We're constantly updating events and lodging and listings and all that kind of stuff. But we really love how this turned out, and we're really excited by it. So, and you'll see that in our website stats, and hopefully they keep going up like they had this past year. But you can see our year-over-year review, our total sessions in 2015, 31,000, and increased 207% total sessions, 97,000 this year. So our unique views increased 168%. Our top geographic referrals are Los Angeles, San Francisco, Atascadero, and Bakersfield, so you can really see how our targeted efforts are pulling those people from those locations. And I like that Atascadero is still in there because that really speaks to Terry's work that she was doing and how our advertising really melds together. And I think a lot of those people locally are looking to our website for all those great events that you've been putting on. So we like seeing that in there too. Our lodging page views went up 33%, so our hoteliers really like that. Our events page is really popular on the website, and that was increased by 62%. Please feel free to ask questions too if you have any. You can stop me. So social media, we really use social media as a tool to give our brand personality and talk directly to our fans and potential fans. So you can see how here we've implemented the current creative and one of our posts for Facebook, and we've increased our Facebook fans from 2015 to 2016 by 15%, and the total referrals are more than 15,000 to the website from our social media. We also use Instagram. Additionally, we use Twitter, but not as much because we really like how Facebook and social media, the image-driven content really helps to sell a destination. So you can see these beautiful images on our Instagram, and we are seeing that people are sharing their Instagram post and hashtagging Visit Atascadero, so we get to see those too. And our Instagram's fairly new. We launched it in 2015, but we've increased our followers to 100%, but we're still working to get that higher. We also use direct marketing, so we send out a monthly e-newsletter, and the e-newsletter is full of events that are coming up, fun things to do. If hotels have packages, we promote the packages too. So we really like that our e-newsletter goes directly into people's email box, and we can keep Atascadero top of mind. Public relations, we have a smaller public relations campaign, but it's really effective. So some of our PR highlights from 2016, we had a couple fam tours, we had California Through My Lens come in and do a big tour, and this is just the highlight, so it's not everything, but he posted on his blog and social media. We partnered with Visit San Luis Obispo County to get the NATCHA writers here, the North American Travel Journalists Association. A bunch of writers came, toured this building, had lunch here. We also hosted a writer from the UK Daily Express and from Lonely Planet. The Cider Festival was great. We had a bit of promotion for Visit Atascadero. And from the new website press release, we got some nice local press, and everybody seems to be excited about what that'll bring. So our TOT measurements, already got it for you, Tom, 38% year over year. So we know that TOT isn't the total story. It's just a piece of the measurement of indicator of how we're doing. It's not everything, but you know, this is a high percentage increase. It's hard to sustain that, but we have new inventory in the city, but we're happy to see that it's here. And I also wanted to mention that we received some awards in 2016. So we received a gold Markham Award for the Visit Atascadero brochure that we created with Terry, and a bronze American Advertising Visit Atascadero logo award, too. Any questions?
Council questions. I'll look to the lights. First, we have Councilwoman Moreno, followed by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Hey, great report. This is really exciting.
Oh, I'm excited, too. Thank you.
Couple of questions. When is the Cider Festival in for the sheriff?
Did they decide on that yet, Terry?
May 13th.
13th. Okay, great. And how many are on the email list? How many people are getting regular emails in there?
We have about 2,800, and our open rate is about 14%, so that's industry average. We like to bump it higher, so what we're doing right now with that is the contest for My Atascadero, so we're giving a good push to our contest with the goal of getting more e-newsletter signups.
Okay, great. And I'll say the last thing is one of the issues that I've always wanted to make sure that we do, and you guys have really done a great job with this, is that we truly represent who we are today, not just who we want to be mm-hmm. 5-10 years down the line. And I think with all of this, you're doing a really good job. There was one thing I have a question about.
Sure.
And it's the summer one.
Okay.
And there were banners with like kids in the pool and water, and that, while it's lovely, I mean, would that be more like we're thinking at the Marriott or the Holiday Inn
Express,
where that kind of stuff is
okay? We're thinking about what families like to do in the summer, and, you know, kids get so excited when they go to a hotel and stay at a pool. One thing we're really working on for 2017-2018 is we now have a funded budget for, an approved budget for new photography. So that's one pain point that we have sometimes, is pulling nice, really representative photography, but that's what we're working on. We're waiting for spring. Hopefully it'll still be green. It won't be raining so much, and we'll get a great batch of new photography that's really represented, so we can pull in more of those photos. But
okay, yeah, because I don't want people to come and think we're like, you know, hot and everyone's got a pool.
Yeah, right. Yes,
but
that's a fair point.
Great, you guys have really just done. I mean, from Terry to everyone with Verdon, you guys have done a really wonderful job on this. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very nice report. I enjoyed seeing the pictures and the marketing. I think you've hit the right note with the nostalgia feel.
Oh, good.
A question regarding the geographic referrals. They were listed as L.A., San Francisco, Atascadero, and Bakersfield.
Correct.
And I'm wondering if we can use those four areas as areas we want to target further, and if so, how do you see that we could do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So our advertising, we continue to target those locations. Those are locations that we have found that people, our message really resonates there. It's likely they'll come and visit, and we continue to use those geographic targets with our advertising and our social media, so we can do that easily with digital online. Also print magazines too. For example, we'll be, we have a print ad in Vintages magazine that goes out to the Fresno area, so that's an area that we're focusing on too.
Thank you.
That answer your question?
Pretty well, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I believe was Councilman Sturdivant.
It was me.
And then followed by Councilmember.
It's amazing to see what can happen when people all row in the same direction. You know, just this feeling of when Terry came on board and people just really getting this synergy where we're not everyone's not fighting, but we're all working together. It's exciting to see that. And I love our brand. I love the Atascadero, the way that turned out and the colors. But my question is just about you, about the slide about Facebook where you said it was a 15% increase, but then you said 15,000 referrals.
Sure.
Could you explain what that means, please?
Yes. So the 15%, you want me to go back to this? So the 15% is our likes. So those are the people that are following our page. So increased fans by 15%. So it went from 4,200 to 48, almost 4,900. The referrals means, I pulled that from Google Analytics, and that's how many people went from our Facebook page to our website. So that's really a website measurement. That's what that means.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm curious about what kind of feedback, if any, you get through these sites in terms of people, you know, maybe they saw the site, they came and visit, and they thought it was everything you said it would be, or you know, it was better, or it wasn't everything they thought it would be. What kind of feedback are you getting from visitors, if any?
The new website?
Well, just on any of these measurements, do you get any feedback from visitors, you know, who have came here and they felt they, you know, got everything as advertised, or they got even more, or they didn't get what was.
Yeah, that's a really great question. One thing we did this year as an effort to really gauge people's expectations and what they come here to do is we gave all the hoteliers comment cards, basically, and it was a questionnaire, and they were able to fill everything out because it's hard for us to get that direct feedback. Mm-hmm. Really, the people at the front desk of the hotels are getting that direct feedback. We've heard great response from the people you know, that are reporting from the hotels and from our board. Our comments on our social media have basically been positive. There are some naysayers, and they tend to be more regional and local and maybe not our visitors. So we monitor those. but I have to say, it's really fun to go onto Facebook and see the comments from people like, oh, I've gone to Atascadero every year for 20 years, and I brought my kids there and have great memories of it. So largely, it's really positive. As far as the brand, we've heard from peers and other hoteliers. We hear back from a lot of those people, and it's all been quite positive. So
thank you.
That's what we've heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Moreno?
I just wanted to, and you probably, I'm sure, are already thinking this way, but I'm thinking our lake is going to look fantastic in the spring and summer. So if you got the photo option,
paddle boats,
please, yeah,
all that kind
all
of stuff.
That.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Other council questions? Well, I would say a couple of our strengths in our area, I think we have more alignment in Atascadero. We may be behind, but we are really catching up. But I don't know of any other city where you have the Chamber of Commerce, the Tourism Business Improvement District Board, the City Council, city staff are all aligned. And we are hungry for success in this area. And it's good that we've gotten some reinforcement. I think because of that alignment and willingness to put some effort out, we also made some real sacrifices. We bit the bullet and completely just shut down the website, did a starting from scratch, and I think it was really worthwhile because it's turned out to be a very solid website, and I think it works for all participants. And I think, too, another measure of success that you see, I see it, and I've seen it with most of our leading event areas and lodging spots. If you look at their reviews and they're in the world that they live in, whether it's Wedding Wire or Vacation mm-hmm. Rental by Owner or like with the Holiday Inn Express, they have their own area where they gather reviews. And we are by far the very top level in the state. So I think that is just a good representation for everyone's work. Yeah. I do want to shift over to a slight negative area. Ooh. And unfortunately, it has nothing to do with us. But I'm a little concerned with the used to be visit slow, now it's whatever we're calling it.
SloCal.
They're kind of going over into a new website, and not much is working. Mm. And I wonder if you have any input. I know if you kind of click on, now I think they're focusing on that high-level stuff that's really countywide. That's great. But it used to be, if you drilled down, like, for example, clicked on a Tascadero, it had something. Or if you clicked on anything in a Tascadero, mm-hmm. there was good content. It's all kind of gone away. Whereas things are very much integrated in the visit
of
Tascadero.
On the board, so she'll
please
take
tell us where we're going with that.
Well, I think Terry and I can really speak to that as well, because Terry and I sit on the marketing committee as well as Amanda. And so I visit San Luis Obispo County recently rebranded. It happened on January 20th. So we are just actually launching the brand new website and the new brand. There's always, when you launch a new brand, things that you have to go through as far as the different pages, especially on the website. The website specifically is, there's only been a landing page created because we still have to rebuild the entire site, but we didn't want to hold back the rebrand to wait until the site was built. So they've only done one or a few different pages with the new brand, a map, a really neat map that I encourage you guys to check out that really showcases the entire county. And it's very interactive, which is really a nice feature. So that will change as soon as the new website is launched, but that will be a couple months before that's set.
Because I think the point is, I do think, you know, first glance, it looks good. But believe me, we are a little picky in Atascadero, that if you click Atascadero and it takes you to venues, things in other cities, that's really where we kind of were upset mm-hmm. the first go around. And so I think I'm assuming every city is going to feel that way, and every lodging and industry that's in. So do you feel that there's a plan to at least get back to what they had before, where everything connects to what it's supposed to connect to?
Well, I will say the good news is you have three representatives on the committee to really share that feedback and talk with the group about what type of changes will be suitable for Atascadero specifically. The one thing that we'll always want to keep in mind is the brand tone and consistency on the website. We want to make sure that the new brand, SloCal, is consistent, whether we're talking about San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, Paso Robles, Pismo Beach. So the voice itself and the verbiage that they use in the message will have to be consistent through the site, but we'll make sure to pinpoint what's special about Atascadero and highlight that in the content.
You have our best interest.
Very good. And I think Councilwoman Moreno has a question.
I just have a question. I didn't realize that they had rebranded, well, 4 days ago?
Yeah, it's brand new.
So did they go away from the visit concept that's been statewide?
They're still using visit. It just visit SloCal is the message on their identity.
Okay. Thank you.
So our board actually just approved two co-ops with Visit San Luis Obispo County or SloCal, which is really nice because it integrates Atascadero and gives us a little more of that limelight, of their big limelight. So we'll be advertising on BuzzFeed and Matador, which will give us really nice video content too. And I also wanted to go back to something that Tom had said, and I want to give Atascadero some major props, because we've worked with a lot of destinations before, and we never... It's so easy to work with all the folks here, all the restaurants and the businesses. Whenever we need to come and take photos, everybody's opening their doors, even if it's like in December and it's a rush. They're so happy to do it. And you don't see that often at other destinations too. So it's wonderful to work with you.
Great. How about the gyms in town? Are they friendly, too?
I haven't gone to the gyms, okay, if you can't tell. Just kidding.
I have a feeling you'll get marketed to here before you leave this evening. So
yeah, let's talk about going on vacation and gym.
Great
and
photo ops.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think there's no council questions. Were you going to go on with some more input?
Absolutely. Okay, so thank you, Verden. All right, so the city's marketing plan review with promotions, analytics, and events for 2016, with our goals to stay, spend, and enjoy. Our demographics are the local residents, our county residents, and tourists that are in our area to attract them to our city. So some of the ways that we do that is via our promotion plan and our event plan. Our promotion plan is made up of broadcast, television, radio, outdoor advertising, print media, as well as digital. So we'll go into a little bit of that. On the television commercials that we've had, we have primarily run on KSBY and Charter. KSBY had started March, April with the zoo commercials, and then we added Charter and did a 50-50 split with downtown commercials and the zoo rotating with each other basically in the summer months, starting Memorial Day through Labor Day. And then we had the holiday commercials coming November, December, KSBY and Charter. Charter we can target to the Hallmark Channel and all of the different channels that are specific to our audience, so it's really nice to be able to do that. And then Galaxy Theater, we did pre-movie commercials. We had the downtown and the zoo commercials that we ran. We ran Cruising Weekend in Tulare Merced, as well as Atascadero, and Winter Wonderland in Atascadero. So that's a nice thing to be able to do with Galaxy. We also have our holiday commercial that we ran November, December, and promoted on KSBY and Charter, and then Galaxy had the Winter Wonderland. But we'll show you this commercial because it really did have an impact on our attendance. And then we ran a couple print ads. I just brought one with me today for show and tell that we'll pass down to you. Doesn't seem like the holidays were as long away as they seem like they were far away now. It's just last month. Thanks, Luke.
Atascadero at night, right?
Again, it might not want to play.
Certainly is a peaceful community at night, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't have those city lights glaring at you.
Well, he cues that up. We also have radio commercials that are event-specific that we run for our different events. Brew at the Zoo, Saturday Concert in the Park series, Cruisin' Weekend, Winter Wonderland, Molly Festival. And then we do live interviews wherever possible, Sound Off, Liquid Lunch with the Cork Dorks. For specific events, the morning roundup on American General Media, which will include Coast 104.1 and KZOZ and KJUG. So we've done a lot there. We also just recently added pirate radio down in Santa Maria Rio Grande to advertise the Tamale Festival. So again, getting countywide exposure there. It doesn't want to go. So we can skip it. It has the link there. We tried. It listed all four events, and it was really a clever commercial that was done, put together by Charter, and they did a really good job with it. A lot of folks told me that they saw it running on both KSBY and Charter, so that was another indication of how well the commercial was. And then we'll get into the events where it shows our event attendance for every single event that we had. Okay, visitor TV commercial, that began the end of August. That runs out at the airport as well as in our hotels in the county. It's an infomercial about our fine city. And then on our website, visitatascadero.com, the new website, is also the link there for that commercial until we have more video that we're working on. As Stephanie had mentioned, with Visit Slo County, we have another video that we're doing with Matador, so that'll be exciting too. And I did talk about the radio commercials that we do, so I'll keep going through there. As far as billboards go, we do the outdoor advertising because we're trying to attract folks to our town while they're visiting here. One of the indoor billboards that we do, or indoor signage, is Hearst Castle. There's about 16 Hearst Castle buses that go up and down the Enchanted Hill to the castle every day, and we are in each one of them. We have two signs in each one for the zoo and one for Faces of Freedom, and also one for the zoo and one for the city hall. And we've continued that because we've had good success with it and good response from it. Our city billboards are slowly but surely changing out. Ones that we aren't so fond of, we're updating the next time. Opelo, for instance, next time that it updates, we will have a different Faces of Freedom Memorial there. That Veterans Memorial photo is a great photo, but it doesn't work for a billboard, so we're going to swap it out for another one. And then the Carl's Jr. billboard is supposed to change as well, and that'll soon have a downtown panel on that. And that, again, good directional signage to get people to stop and come to our downtown and enjoy our town and spend money while they're here. Billboards out of our area, Lost Hills billboard coming in from 46 West and the I-5. We ran the billboard that you see at the top there, March through November 2016, and then the recent one we just put in place, running December through the present time. Our contract expires the beginning of March. We'll probably pull that contract and look to go closer in to our town when we're looking at cities where we're attracting number one cities, LA, followed by San Francisco, and then number three is Atascadero, then Bakersfield. There's a top eight that I'm following on the geofencing that Stephanie mentioned earlier. We're going to really be looking in those areas coming in and really kind of fine-tuning this a bit more. This billboard did have a lot of success with it and still does, but I feel like we can change that up and hone in a little closer and more directionally to those areas. And then the tourism board can take on the outer market billboards. We're doing a lot of that kind of who should be doing what and cleaning that up a little bit. As far as the promotions that fall into print, we have the magazines. You've seen the one in front of you on the left. In the middle was the thank you ad for the Winter Wonderland sponsors, and then our brochure that have won the award. So again, a lot of collaboration between Burden and the Tourism Board and myself. So it is. It's a lot of fun to be able to collaborate and work all in the same direction. Digital tactics, we have three main digital tactics. We have what we call targeted display ads, which is your big brother. It's your retargeting ads. If you ever are getting ready for a trip to wherever you're going, let's say Atascadero, and you are the Central Coast, and you're doing something else, you might be retargeted an ad for Atascadero. So it's very specific, and we have purchased the retargeting in our county as well as Northern Santa Barbara County, the Central Valley area, and Monterey Salinas area. The other tactic is search engine marketing. This is paid search. This isn't search engine optimization. Paid search helps you when you're searching, you list in the top five, and you're at the top of the screen, and then your organic listings are below. It also is over to the right-hand side of your computer screen when you're searching. And then we do run-of-site display ads. And those display ads we mainly run on KSBY.com and SanLuisObispo.com, those being the top two websites in our county outside of Cal Poly. And then we've had great analytics as a result of those that have been very useful for us. In front of you, you see a lot of different ads that we've run through the year. The one at the top left-hand corner is KSBY, ran that one. We have Winter Wonderland that ran across all of them, including A-Town Daily News. We also have the zoo ads that run on KSBY.com and SanLuisObispo.com. Pavilion, we did a leaderboard ad, which is at the top of your page when you're looking at your websites. That was for Tascadero News. So we've done a variety, New Times as well. Don't want to leave them out. A lot of good exposure for our town that we've been running. Paid search and targeted ads, you can see here on the left-hand side. That's your search and how when you search, let's say, Central Coast or travel Central Coast, wineries, that sort of thing will populate. And on the left-hand side, you see that Visit Atascadero with the cider, and that's where they're retargeting you. If you were on the Visit Atascadero site, we have what we call a pixel on the site. When you leave that site to go do your other searching, Food Network, what have you, you're retargeted an ad for Atascadero, and that is how it would look on the screen, depending on where you go. So we're going to dive a little bit into some of the analytics. And what I did this time, because this doesn't have a highlighter on it that I'm aware of, the little light thing, it shows you highlighted-wise where we're performing and why I highlighted it. Overall impressions for the year have been about 1.2 million in impressions. And an impression is, if you're looking at your computer screen, you see something, that's counted as an impression when that ad serves up at you. Whether you see it or not, it's counted as an impression. And then when you actually click on it and take action, the click-through rate is what then becomes the multiplier. And that multiplier is 0.213% overall. 0.05% is normal. So that kind of gives you, on average, we're well above normal when it comes to what we're advertising out there. Diving a little bit further in with all of the retargeting that we're doing, we have our desktop retargeting, mobile retargeting, but what stands out the most is our site. And on our site, 0.484% is huge as far as the return that we're getting on our retargeting efforts with our site. And that is our visitatascadero.com site. The geofencing, we've done a little geofencing around our billboard. We can drop a pin around our billboard out there in Lost Hills, and we can actually geofence around that and serve up ads to people as they pass by. It's amazing how technology works. Tamale Festival geofencing we've done with soliciting for our vendors. Because we didn't have enough vendors last year, we went for soliciting different areas like Santa Maria, that sort of thing. We also drilled into restaurants and caterers in our county and then our Santa Maria area as well as up to King City. So we were really after trying to make sure we had those tamale vendors. We didn't have anybody come through that way, so I wouldn't do it again, but at least we gave it a shot. So that was something that we tried. On retargeting performance by geo, Monterey and Salinas actually are coming up higher than Bakersfield, so that's another reason to kind of take another look at the billboard and where we're placing our ads. That's important to see that change. The other ones you can kind of see how we populate there with retargeting performance. And then what's interesting here, and I know especially in this room with all of the marketing knowledge that's sitting in the audience, for desktops and desktop and laptops to come up ahead of mobile is very uncommon. It kind of tells me that people, when they're searching and they're doing this kind of stuff, they're at work or they're planning more. They're not necessarily always on their mobile device, but they are on their mobile device. It's not a shy number, 0.202%. But they definitely are probably at work 8 to 5, you know, Monday through Friday, doing these kind of things, and that's what we used to find would be the most popular time frame. But I just thought it was interesting to throw that in on a device for the year, because it's not normal. the other part we have with our digital performance is just looking at this by month. And this helps gauge our advertising efforts as to when we should be advertising as well. We have our April is 0.172%, and then you have July through December. We have a lot going on in our town at that time, and I feel that that's also reflected in the retargeting performance. People are maybe searching or looking to come here more. It is interesting to see December being so high as well. The 0.344% is the highest of our retargeting display response that we've had. The other thing that we're finding in this the travel tourism optimized audience and travel tourism optimized segment, that is a platform change on the McClatchy side. So it's the same. So the top keyword performance, we're getting travel tourism as well as arts and entertainment. So that's something, another way to guide our creative and key into with the marketing efforts that we have. And then you can see where we fall with hiking and theater and zoo, golfing and beer with those keywords. But that gives you our top 10 keywords, which is also important when we're looking to do our marketing. And this one's just unique. It's basically shows you the number of impressions that are served up around Atascadero, around the Carlton Hotel. This is specific to more activity around downtown, and you can just see how many more impressions are delivered at that point with our performance when we do the mobile geo zones. It just shows you there's a lot happening around our area, more so than Spring Hill Suites by Marriott or the Colony Inn, but those are high too, so it just shows the activity that's going on there. And it kind of sinks into the Motel 6 again, that area more downtown, Rancho T, those, there's more impressions served, but the Carlton's really a big one. That's a big historical focus for us too, so a very popular hotel. And then overall, this is Renasite. These are the ads that you see if you go to sanluisobispo.com and look at your news on the Tribune site, or if you're looking at your news on ksby.com. These are the impressions that we have run through the course of the year, over a million impressions, and we've had 1,757 clicks, which is 0.16%, 0.05% being your industry average. And what you'll see on this and highlighted, that floorboard adhesion ad, that's a floorboard on the website when you pull it up and it kind of takes over the page sometimes. We did buy some of those with Tamale Festival in 2016. Needless to say, it worked really well because we ran out of tamales. But you'll also see it again on the multi-banners. We did a lot of your rectangular display banners for Tamale Festival, and you can see how well that performed as an event. And when you see events like that and you see that click-through rate being so high, we're on to something, and we're on to something that needs to be grown and expanded, and we'll be working on that. But this definitely shows in the numbers specifically where we are and by event. The next one that we can kind of benchmark against sanluisobispo.com is ksby.com. So we were close to a million impressions that we purchased on ksby.com, about 1,485 clicks and a 0.15% click-through rate. So again, performed very well. Experiencing downtown was very strong, as well as the Corn Toss Tournament in Winter Wonderland. So those were some really good, significant creative ads that we ran that got really good exposure there. So the creative's important just as much as, you know, what we're running. And then the interest level that you see. I didn't have the Tamale Festival results to see for you to see that, but search engine marketing, we're performing really well. 2% click-through rate is a strong and really good performance on search engine marketing. We're at a 3.44%. So with our search engine marketing, it optimizes continually. We have about 409 clicks per month. What we buy is 300 clicks per month. So we're being overserved almost every single time on the number of clicks that we receive, and that's where we're guaranteed a certain number of clicks per month, and then we'll populate in the top 5 to 10 listings. What does this all mean? Well, when you boil it down, it's our website, and we've seen our website growth, like Stephanie had mentioned. Our total page views in 2015 were 71,000. In 2016, it's 158,000, basically. So that's grown 121.74%. Unique visitors are up 168%. That's huge. Unique visitor is like a subscriber to a newspaper. You're counted one time. And that's, you know, huge growth there. So we should be very proud of that. Our lodging page views and our event page views differ a little bit from what Verdon had presented to you. We re-ran it today, year over year, and what we found is we had 138% growth. We had 2,171 impressions in 2015 for lodging, and in 2016, it grew that much to 5,175. And then the event page views as well, they were 4,500 versus 2016's 13,960 at 203%. So I'm not sure how Google Analytics pulls things, but that's how we pulled it, and that's the results we had. So we might want to double-check each other on that. Because it was significantly higher. And of course I take the higher number because, you know, Luke is my witness on that. but it's tremendous growth, and we should be very proud of what we've done and all of the advertising efforts to make that happen. Moving into events, a summary of new events year over year, or well, for the year of 2016, we had the Tamale Festival, which is a large signature event because we break these down into Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3. Tier 2 being a signature event, and then Tier 3 being a single-day event. So we have Dancing in the Streets that we added for Cruise and Weekend. Have continued to hear a lot of positive feedback on that event and making that a weekend, a Cruise and Weekend, so we'll continue that effort. The signature events like Winter Wonderland, I mean, hands down, people really enjoy themselves. So we'll go into a little bit of the analytics on how we've increased our attendance there. And then Brew at the Zoo, another fun event. Having a beer festival, but a little differently, where you can party with the animals.
Let me insert a question in there back on that slide. I would understand, again, familiar with how we were defining Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can get back to that. Now, I could understand Dancing the Streets, Cruise and Weekend, because we already have a car show on a Saturday, and we're expanding other days to kind of extend that visitation. But I wasn't sure why you started with Tamale Festival as a Tier 1 event versus another level. So obviously it's something that can grow. Is that the fact that you see it as the most potential for growth, you stuck it up there?
It's a maybe because we just went through the second one.
Yeah.
I put it in a large signature event. It definitely has... Excuse me, some ability to expand. We did have quite a few people coming up from Southern California this time. They did stay in our hotels locally here, so I could see this becoming bigger. They do a two-day event in India, I think three-day actually. It's a three-day long event. So the goal is to expand it to a two-day event. We had a lot of them saying, only one day? And it's like, yes, only one day, but you know, again, they were successful, so I feel it's definitely hitting that large signature event status and, you know, working to make that expand.
So we could do maybe 3 days of Tamale Festival, and then
yes,
the gyms can do a special day after. To.
There you go.
Okay, well, we'll think about that.
Yes.
No.
All right.
Okay. Moving on. Could you give me an idea where it might be a good point to take a break? Because I have had a request or two. Are we getting to a stopping point?
We can take a break right now if you'd like.
Well, then let's take a brief break, and we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Start your own family tradition this year. Join us for great holiday events in Atascadero. The fun starts with the holiday lighting ceremony on December 2nd, continues with the holiday musical walk around the lake on December 3rd. Keep it going and have a blast with 50...
Well, I think we are about to have everyone situated in the right spots again. So I'll go ahead and call the meeting back to order, and Ms. Spanish, if you would continue.
Okay, we're going to show you that commercial real quick that we were trying to show earlier.
Start your own family tradition this year. Join us for great holiday events in Atascadero. The fun starts with the holiday lighting ceremony on December 2nd, continues with the holiday musical walk around the lake on December 3rd. Keep it going and have a blast with 50 tons of snow at Winter Wonderland on December 9th, and experience holiday magic at the Charles Paddock Zoo on December 17th. Make wonderful holiday memories with your family at all the great holiday events in Atascadero this season.
There you go. If you didn't see it, you got to see it. Okay, and it's a nice segue to this because we'll talk about the holiday events. So this is quarter four. We have the Welcome Cal Parade slow to Atascadero. We had the Showdown Corn Toss Tournament, which we partnered with Knights of Columbus to bring that event to life, with the idea that they take that over in year three. Holiday events, holiday boutique, holiday lighting, walk around the lake, winter wonderland, holiday magic at the zoo, and all of those events, even though they're not all of the city's events specifically, they were all promoted and have great attendance that came through. And then we had the new private tour announcement with Historic City Hall. So with Cow Parade Slow, we ended up with two adopted cows. They didn't have sponsors, so they did come to our town. So we had Starry Nights, Steampunk Bessie, along with our turtle cow. And we've done a lot of different promotions around the cows, most recently with our tamale festival, with the cows donating their sombreros. So it's been fun to have them. And then they will depart in April, and they'll be auctioned off in May. So again, good exposure throughout the county. A lot of folks have had pictures on these cows. So it definitely has had some attention. The new community event that we have is the Showdown Corn Toss Tournament, October 22nd from 9 to 5:30 p.m. We ended up with 32 teams, 250 people in attendance. A great community event. If anything would expand going forward, we had both Kiwanis and Knights of Columbus making 60 sets of cornhole boards. So we have 30 of those sets. They have 30. The proceeds benefited parents for Joy Playground, Special Needs Playground, and just a great event. We also have Bristol's Cider took first place. They stopped and asked me at the Tamale Festival if we were doing it again, and yes, we are, and it's exciting to have that because they're all gung-ho. And then our Atascadero Police Department's Commander Allen and his son took first place on the costume contest. So it was just a lot of fun.
So what part's the costume? Like the T-shirts, is that it?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
We'll stop there. we also had our holiday events with holiday lighting on December 2nd was up 20% for Santa, up 25% for our tours, and we were up 2% for Art and Wine Tour. Walk around the lake on December 3rd, the zoo attendance was up 81%. Winter Wonderland, December 9th, approximately 10,000 in attendance and 1,500 to 2,000 people for Santa and Mrs. Claus. So we did have phenomenal attendance for all of our holiday events, and our holiday magic at the zoo, December 7th, doubled its zoo attendance versus 2015. So our attendance has definitely done well. Our zoo attendance for 2015 over 2016 is up in attendance, and I have that number. 2.4% up year over year, and this year we're up 12% over 2014. So we definitely have seen some good results from our advertising efforts and all the different things we have going on at the zoo as well. Hats off to Alan, our zoo director. And going into the public relations for the zoo, we have the Madagascar exhibit ribbon cutting, highlighting the donation from Atascadero Wine Festival to the Charles Paddock Zoo of the $20,000. Again, the first phase in the phase of the Madagascar exhibit and the biodiversity hotspots that we're doing at the zoo. And then we had the public relations, the groundbreaking ceremony for the Thelma Vetter Red Panda exhibit. That took place Friday, November 18th. So we have an exciting year ahead, a lot going on, and trying to get as much publicity as possible with all these things that we have. And build on our success. So 2017 is all about building on our success. Before we build on anything, this is a snapshot of the budget, the final budget where we ended for July 2015 through June 30th, 2016. We came in under budget at $181,394. But you can see, the different events that we have in the top section and then promotions on the bottom section and what we're spending. We have quite a bit of sponsorships that we're working on as well to defer our costs, especially for Winter Wonderland because the cost of the snow is so expensive. And then for this year, July 2016, and we're obviously still in this fiscal year, the highlighted areas, these events haven't closed out yet, but it gives you an idea of where we are. So we'll be right at budget come June 30th.
Maybe before we go on, let me open it up for council questions. Councilwoman Moreno.
Terry, could you go back to the last year budget?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm. So we came in under budget at the 181, but the revenue of 33,550, we hadn't budgeted any revenue. Is that correct? Or had we?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay. So in essence, we're 18, 19,000 and like 10% under budget, but then another 15% with the
correct
revenue that came in. Okay.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. And then this shows you where we're at for right now. And we don't have all that final, but at least it gives you an idea. Winter Wonderland, particularly, we pretty much it's closed out, but it we spent less money this year for Winter Wonderland, and we brought in a little less revenue, but we ended up netting out better than we had the year before. And that's a big one. That one, typically last year, it cost us $28,000 to pull off that event. We had $17,000 in the sponsorship and the vendor booths and all of that. The snow is around $14,300, so that's what really drives that cost. So that's where we really focus our efforts on sponsorship for the most part. But all the sponsors matter, and they're huge for us to try and get more.
Go ahead.
So if I look at the budget for the current year, are some of the expenses that are included in there things that we've paid for that are going into 2017, or is that literally just expenses as of December 31st? Like, are we halfway over our budget and only halfway over what we have to do?
No,
halfway through
we're,
what we have to do?
We're okay, because on your promotions end, mm-hmm. we don't typically advertise a whole lot right now. After Tamale Festival, we typically go dark until about Memorial Day. We might promote a little bit for the zoo, but we're not. That's where we go a lot lighter on the promotion side. And then on your event side, even Brew at the Zoo is the next one that comes into play in April. And then the other events are very they're sponsored events, so they offset each other, like your concert series and that kind of thing. So we'll be fine.
Okay. And then any billboards and things like that, that's just part of it. Okay.
And that will help us, because on the billboard cost, that's something I'm looking to change. So that's one that is an ongoing thing that won't, you know, once we pull that, you know, we'll reinstate it, like, come next year's budget.
I feel comfortable. I mean, this is the third year now we're coming up on soon. And, I mean, each step along the way we've been under budget, you've been doing a really good job with that. So
thank you.
I just want to confirm.
I'm working hard. This
numbers.
One's a little bit more stressful. So.
Go ahead. More council questions. Councilwoman Fonsi.
I'm just looking at the revenues. We don't have any for cruise night, but it seems like there might be an opportunity to have food trucks or something else that we have them sponsor. Or I'm not even sure, but perhaps you have some ideas on that one.
Yes, and right now we've just put out all of our sponsorship letters, so that should be coming through. And I didn't have like a final for all of those on the sponsors that we had, because we've had a couple sponsors in there. But that is an opportunity. With cruise night itself and food trucks, we tried that a little bit this year, and it wasn't as successful, mainly because everybody's up and down El Camino Real doing a lot of different things. But what we're focused to is definitely dancing in the streets, because they were very successful with that, and expanding that a little bit more with the food trucks and the sponsors for this next fiscal year. So,
great. I've heard nothing but good things about dancing in the street. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think we have more council questions. Go ahead.
Just curious, though, on cruise night, dancing in the streets, no revenue at all? Because, I mean, this is reflective of the dancing in the streets that just took place already.
Right.
So there was no revenue at all associated
with
that?
We didn't hit it that hard with sponsorship. It's all in really the time it takes to generate sponsors. That's a tough one, because it does take time to do that. We did have on the next update, I'll provide you a more updated list. I was more concerned about expenses on this, so I didn't pull in all of the sponsorship revenue on there. But they typically don't have a lot of sponsors. So I want to say it's a couple thousand. It's not a big dollar amount, but it's an opportunity for sure.
But is there vendors don't, like during Dancing in the Street, vendors don't pay a fee to
In the beginning, on all these events, we do not charge on the first events because we really want to see how they go. Corn Toss Tournament was a perfect example of that, where we had 250 people and the vendors didn't do very well at all because everybody's playing the Corn Toss Tournament, so they weren't really doing anything else. And there was not a big break in between the games, so they didn't have a big opportunity to go, you know, buy. So we're working on that for this next time around.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, let me insert in that because, again, if you look at our original budget, back when people were laughing at us for proposing a $200,000 budget, well, we did increase TOT by almost $400,000. Mm-hmm. The intention was not to, well, let's go out and do events and hope we can make some money off of the events. The purpose was to do events and get folks into town, building that brand and getting some momentum. And then if you can end up, quite frankly, it was somewhat of a fortunate afterthought to be able to generate some revenue. You basically generated unbudgeted revenue, and that could grow. But again, this is a unique component of the marketing program that, mm-hmm. you know, the purpose of doing it is really bringing all those goals we have of bringing folks here. All we want them to do is more people to come, stay longer, and spend more money. And if they do that, that's what generates those sources of sales tax and TOT. So I don't want folks to feel like, oh, we're losing money on this. No, actually, we did really well mm-hmm. for the first 2 years.
What you don't see on there, too, is on the media side, we've done a lot of sponsorship. And we've done a lot of sponsorship where if we spend $1,000, we get $1,000 matched. And that's not something that you're seeing up there. You're only seeing the actual hard costs with it. And we've done that pretty effectively with every event, so we get more exposure and to bring people downtown to stay, spend, and enjoy the town. So it is all driven like that.
Yeah, and some of that just shows up in those click-through rates, for example, of like the attention. We've never had a presence like we've had statewide, let alone even in our own community. So in a two-year period, that's been our focus. So I think it's true. Yeah, I think we can certainly grow the revenue side, but our focus is not on that component. It's those other sources of revenue, TOT and sales tax. So on that, it looks like you've done a great job, but good questions. Yeah, find more money when you can. Good. Continue on, please. No council questions. I don't see any lights lighting up here for me. So.
Well, this is pretty much it. So this is staff recommendations to receive and file the marketing plan update. And then after the strategic planning meeting, then I will come back with a new marketing plan. And then questions. So there's your question.
Any more council questions? Well, let's open it up to the public. Now, one thing I would mention, we've become a bit of a mecca for, I hate to say millennials, but we certainly have breweries, the Cider Festival. These things have really been growing and amazing how many folks here. I'm wondering if there's anyone in the audience that could maybe talk about, like, what's next in, like, say, Entrada about new activities. So is there anyone, Terry, that might be able to give a report on that? Maybe. Well, let's go. Let's open it up. Let's open it up to the public. And with that handoff, welcome. Since the mayor has made that a report, you don't really have a time limit. Tell us about your new business.
You know, I didn't think I was going to get called on. So shame on me for telling anybody who I was. I'm Nikki Kaltenberg. My husband and I actually moved up here back in June from Orange County. We sold our house in Anaheim and have liquidated our retirement accounts, and we are trying to open a brewery.
And be sure to talk to the mic. Well, there you go.
We're trying to open a brewery on Entrada. We should have a lease signed in the next, hopefully, week or two. We had to work out some asbestos remediation business, but I think that's all worked out now, and hopefully we will get a lease signed, apply for our licensure, with hoping to be open by June or July.
That is great. Do you have a name in mind yet?
Yes, Dead Oak Brewing is what the LLC currently is formed as.
Very good. And what do you think will be unique about your business as opposed to all these other breweries that are doing well in our area?
There's a lot of breweries up and down the Central Coast. I think what makes at least the Central Coast unique is the fact that there is such a large tourism industry. So more breweries can be supported in this area. We've yet to reach saturation when you compare the Central Coast to Fort Collins in Colorado or Portland, Oregon, even places like Orange County that are growing, but you have a much more spread out demographic. There's a lot more driving involved, a lot more traffic to deal with. Here, there's an ease of traveling from Paso to Pismo, and then you have a lot of people coming over from Bakersfield or from Fresno coming up from Los Angeles. So I think that this is a special marketplace in terms of demographics. What will hopefully differentiate us is my husband and I have been going to breweries for 8 odd years now, and it used to be when there weren't a lot of them, and the ones that did exist back then were very small. You could go in, it was easy to meet the brewer, to talk about the brewing process, to gather a lot of information in terms of what kinds of beers they were brewing, what they had coming up, what kind of yeast they were using, who their suppliers for yeast or their grains or their hops were. That's kind of been lost in a lot of the more recent openings. They definitely have taken on much more of a business skew than a experience sort of skew. I want to personally bring the experience part of that back. So if someone comes in, they can talk to my husband, Jesse, who will be there brewing. It's important for us to make sure that the staff is really well equipped. So I would like all of the servers that we end up having to be certified Cicerones, which is essentially a sommelier, but for the beer world. They will have a greater ability to answer questions, not just about the beer and the type of beer, but how the beer is manufactured. And one of the other things that's important to me, less from a customer side and more from a business operation side, is it's important for us personally to be stewards of the people who live in this community. So one of our short-term goals is to be able to provide health insurance and other benefits, despite the fact that we'll likely only have 4 employees to start. So I think that kind of creates a bit of a different atmosphere in terms of social stewardship as well.
Well, welcome to Atascadero.
Thank you.
You've got a great team because you're kind of the numbers person and your husband is really the craft brew person.
Well, and luckily he's also a civil engineer, so that helps a lot too.
All right. Well, we want to help you get our community saturated, so we'll, as you said. Okay. Well, a round of applause to our newest business person coming to town. Thank you. Well, we are open up to the public. Is there any other member of the public wishing to comment on anything? You can see we have a little latitude because we're just so happy with the results we've heard tonight. So please come forward if you'd like to share anything on this topic. Welcome. Please tell us a little bit about who you are and then tell us what you have to say.
Somewhat of a familiar face to most of you guys. Amanda Diefendurfer, Big Red Marketing. I work with your tourism board in destination management services. But really want to compliment you. You know, we work with a handful of tourism clients, and it's very rare that we can see these aligned efficiencies gain through the city working so closely with the tourism board and many of your other partners, as you've mentioned, your Chamber of Commerce. So just mostly want to take a moment to compliment you guys on that fact. That takes great leadership to get there, and it's clearly showing in the efforts that you're making. The numbers speak for themselves, both in Terry's reports and in Verdon's reports. And, you know, as another member on that SloCal marketing committee now, I do want to assure you, you have great representation on that committee fighting for you. I think the best example of that is the original brand proposed was SloCoast. And you had some very angry committee members in there saying there is no way you can consider that representative of Atascadero. So I can guarantee you that you've got people fighting for you in that room.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Seeing none approaching, we'll close that public comment, bring it back to council. And I am going to go ahead. Are there any other comments? Because I would like to make the motion for just accepting this report I don't know if there's any particular action items other than maybe a reprimand for not spending the $50,000 in your budget you didn't get to, but you can work on that next time. That's promotion activities we could have had. I'm sure your city manager would agree. So with that, I would move to accept this excellent report. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie. Roll call, please.
You don't need to be voting.
We're going to all have our names called because we are supporting this completely.
If you want it, I will do that. So you were the motion, and who's the second?
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Okay. Councilmember Borbo.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
And again, Terry, I think you know, on behalf of all the council, we think you're just doing an outstanding job. We really appreciate that. And we also really appreciate Verdin, the company that we've worked with. They've really done an outstanding job. It's a pleasure to work with all of you. And certainly with our newest business person in town. Are we business friendly or what? Thank you. We'll move on. Next item on the agenda is a council announcements and reports. And again, I will just go through. When we have a more complex agenda coming up, I will remind folks I like to split between announcements and reports separate. But I'm going to just go through each council member and ask you to share whatever you want on any topic. The only thing we do need to cover officially a bit, which I'll ask Councilman Sturdivant to do, is give us a little overview of our activities at the League of California Cities, as you are our league representative. So with that, I think I'm going to go ahead and start, if you're ready. We'll go ahead.
That sounds good. So yes, the mayor, myself, and Councilmember Borbo, and city council, or our city manager, attended the League of California Cities New Mayors and Council Members Academy in Sacramento, which is for, you know, learning, networking, fine points of being a new council member. So Charles was able to get, all of us were actually able to get some pointers in a lot of areas like ethics and how to run meetings and just our legal responsibilities, those kind of things. But the real meat of it was the networking and also meeting with Jordan Cunningham, our assemblyman, mm-hmm. and being able to share with him issues that are going on here in Atascadero that we were able to bring to him. Mayor O'Malley had some ideas for some recycling legislation, and also with Senator Mahoney. We met with Senator Mahoney as well, and there's some good discussions on how they can support us here in the Central Coast. So, and along with that, I got a great update from the League of California Cities when it came to the state budget. And the two things, the most interesting things that are really the focus of the state of California right now and what we have to really be concerned about is that their focus this year is on taking away our land use authority. And this was said more than once. It was said many times, actually, during the presentations that I attended. So my committee is Housing, Community, and Economic Development. So we're going to be very, very busy this year because there already was a bill that we've opposed, but we chose to stand back and wait and let it die its own death. And if not, we're going to keep an eye on it. They wanted to actually take away the tax exemption for second homes to be able to raise funds for affordable housing. So this is just a start. This is just the start. You know, we're only in January. The March meeting is going to be very, very interesting to see what happens, what comes down. So our land use authority is going to be attacked by the state this year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The other thing I found very interesting also is that we're in very uncertain ground right now with the new administration in Washington, and the state is very concerned. Three areas. Number one is healthcare. Number two is the environmental. Number three is immigration. Depending on how that plays out with the new administration and with our state, those could be some extremely expensive bills for the state to absorb. Just healthcare alone could be in the range of $15 billion, depending what happens with reform. So there's going to be a lot going on with the new legislative season. So we're going to keep our eyes open and going to be there fighting for bills that affect cities. And like I said, my committee's housing, community, economic development. Those are the issues that I'll be dealing with. And we'll definitely be fighting for our land use authority because we do not want to give any land use authority to the state of California. So more to come on that. Thank you.
Air pollution control will meet tomorrow. I'm expecting we'll hear more about the state's move. The California Air Resources Board is tightening down on the enforcement for AB 32 and climate change and meeting our climate action plan. So I will keep you posted on that. In addition to that, many of the county commissions are having schisms in the politics of this. I don't know if you've been following this, but there was a fight over who would chair the Board of Supervisors, and it is split along ideological lines, and the appointments are being made by the new chair of the Board of Supervisors, and it is not going very peacefully. The Air Pollution Control Board will be having that fight tomorrow. In terms of LAFCO, there's a new district, a water district coming forward. It's having to do with having a seat at the table for SGMA compliance in the Paso Robles groundwater basin, and it will include Creston in the El Pomar district. We'll be having that report very soon. I'll keep you posted. Design review meeting, we talked about a new business that's going in where the old fish restaurant used to be. It'll be Mr. Putter with a mini golf course. We've seen the plans. It looks like it'll be lots of fun. A pizza place, and then you can go out and play miniature mini golf, I guess you would call it, or mini miniature. I'm not sure which. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. We will have our next mayor's countywide meeting coming up in Paso Robles next week. And we continue to be a very collegial group. The seven mayors do get along pretty well, even though there's quite a diversity in our politics. It seems to go a little smoother than the county has at some times. With the Council of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority, again, since there's such a crunch on state funding, it does cause concern for me to think about what it could mean. And we continue to fight to keep local control. And there are some funds that have in the past been able to go towards local roads, and that could by law be absorbed in some transportation, regional transportation needs, because there are some rules that if there's underfunding in that area, the funding source that we've used with some flexibility has to be diverted. So that's a concern to me. I'm keeping an eye on that, as well as the fact that if they have to make reductions in services, we want to make sure our residents are protected, because we have a unique terrain. We need those smaller vehicles, specialized services to make sure medical and other needs of our community are met. So it is something to monitor. I will be moving back on the integrated way. Oh, I did want to mention on the San Luis Council of Governments, as you had mentioned, there was a motion to have me rotate in as chair as well. I declined. Just because I'm concerned about the polarization we have on some of these boards, I accepted to be on the executive committee, which serves the same purpose. There's three of us that will set agendas, but I didn't want to see that fight continue on. I do think we have to really work at being peacemakers is best we can, and at least those of us, I know Councilman Fonsi tries to do this with some of the committees she's on, we can be examples of civility and focus on getting the work done and making sure everyone is heard. And I think that's just going to be our priority, I think, in the next few years on multiple fronts. I would say with the Integrated Waste Management Authority, again, coming on to that, one thing we did talk about a lot at the state level, especially with Senator Monning, was about recycling. We've talked about this a lot. As you know, statewide, we've reduced down to only about 40% of the required recycling centers are in place for lots of reasons, state problems, recycling, cost of the money that's brought in off of recycled items is down. But what was one concern to all of us is that by law there's a mandatory $100 a day fee towards grocery stores if such a unit is not in place. State has not enforced that. We've pretty much fought for a bill that's working its way through that's going to make some reforms. One, protect our local businesses so that they won't be fined for not being able to do something that's beyond their control. And we really are fighting, I think many of us at the city level are fighting to just see, I would like to see the state just do away with the fee that we pay for on bottles and cans, because essentially we pay it and none of the money comes back. And so I think we'd be better off on our own to come up with some recycling programs if we just didn't have to pay that fee at all by our residents. So that's something we will keep working on. And other than that, I will turn over to Councilwoman Moreno.
Thank you. I have the EBC meeting tomorrow, and a lot of the agenda will be about Diablo. And so Dan Buckshy will be there, the county CAO, talking about the coalition, the cities, and the county. And obviously, we're very familiar with that. And then staff at EBC will be giving a presentation regarding Diablo Canyon and what is the role of the EBC going to be in terms of looking at the economic impact and how do we prepare our county for moving forward. I wanted to also talk about two things going on just in town that probably many people are familiar with and some may not be. This year's Atascadero's Dancing with Our Stars has traditionally been a library fundraiser, and I think we all know that. This will be the eighth year, and what the Friends of the Atascadero Library decided to do was to expand this and open it up to more than just the library in terms of fundraising. And so there's still the traditional eight dancers, but now in addition to the library, there are six other nonprofits that are represented. And so let me just tell you who those are. There's Atascadero Association of University Women. There's Atascadero Greyhound Foundation, Atascadero Kiwanis Club, Atascadero Land Preservation Society, the Boys and Girls Club of North San Luis Obispo County, El Camino Homeless Shelter, and of course then Friends of the Atascadero Library. So because it has grown in this way, they've now expanded it to three nights. And so it is a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's March 23rd, 24th, 25th. And you can, and if you're not familiar with the way they raise money is you vote for your favorite dancer, which of course ends up being your favorite nonprofit. And so if you go to, friendsoftheatascaderolibrary.org, you can, see who's participating. You can vote there. If you know some of the dancers, I know there's still some tickets available. They just went on sale a week ago, and I know they've sold well over more than half of the available seats for all three nights. So support your favorite nonprofit and get out there and come see everybody dance. And then the second thing I wanted to mention is the 35th annual Atascadero Ladies Conference is coming up on March 10th and 11th. It'll be at the Colony Park Community Center. It is probably the largest conference that we have in Atascadero. They get anywhere from 300 to 500 people, women, obviously, ladies conference, that come to this. I'm honored to be the MC again this year. This will be my third year. And you can simply go to ladiesconference.com and register, but it's a really, really nice event. And we have mostly women from throughout the county, Atascadero and elsewise, but we also have women who come from out of the area, stay at Holiday Inn Express and different places. So that's been really good, too. Love to see you there.
Well, I'll be there. Go
That's
ahead.
Right. What's nice is we have like the mayor, and I know our police chief, my husband, I think Jordan Cunningham 1 year, Justin Freed, like we have come in because it's dark when you get out, and some of the the parking is a little bit challenging when you have 300 to 500 people, and so the men escort, and it's always much appreciated by the ladies.
Since I was in Sacramento last week, I missed both the design review committee and the homeless services oversight commission, so I have nothing to report.
Well, very good. Any staff items to bring up? Then we are adjourned. Thank you. Oh, well, that's just adjourning the city council meeting. So we will now move on to the next meeting, the successor agency to the Community Redevelopment Agency of Atascadero. And I will call that meeting to order. And we will begin with a roll call.
Councilmember Bourbeau.
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
And we have first item of on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. I will so move. Is there a second?
Second.
The motion by Mayor O'Malley, seconded by Councilman Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. First item on the agenda is a consent calendar consisting of some draft action minutes. Any member of the council or member of the public wishing to discuss that further, or I would accept a motion to approve.
I'm assuming I should abstain since I was not here for those, you know, minutes.
And the city attorney says?
The answer is yes.
So I will move approval.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilwoman Moreno, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Next, we have community forum, opportunity for any member of the public to speak on any item they would like that's not on the agenda, which is pretty much everything that's under our jurisdiction. Seeing no one approach, we'll close that. We do not have any public hearings. We do have a management report, which is the approval of recognized obligation payment schedule 17-18, July 1st, 2017 through June 30, 2018. And I believe our Administrative Services Director, Jerry Rankel, will be giving that report.
Thank you, Chairperson O'Malley and Board. Appreciate that. And yes, it is. This item is the required obligation payment schedule. We call it the ROPS for short. So it is for the upcoming year. So this is the second year in a row where we've had an annual ROPS instead of a semi-annual ROPS. So this one is due on February 1st. It will cover 1 year of obligations beginning July 1st, 2017 through June 30th, 2018. We are requesting $1.8 million approximately in this period to cover this period. The bulk of that is going for the bond debt service, so the two different bond issues that we have that will cover debt service and principal and some trustee fees. It also does include an administrative allowance of about $130,000, which is down from the $250,000 that we had requested previously. So the regulation does give us the authority to request up to $250,000, but because we're beginning to wound down on the City Hall project, which took a lot of staff time, a lot of extra expenses, so we're kind of reducing that a little bit to more accurately reflect the time that we expect to be spending and the expenses. Additionally, this would cover the maintenance for the Creekside building until that building is sold, so for that time period. So if the board approves the ROPS tonight, it will go to the Oversight Board on January 31st at 2:00 here in City Hall. Chairperson Fonzie will be at that meeting as well, and we will review it for the board's potential approval on that date. And then if the board so approves on the 31st, it will be submitted to the Department of Finance on the 1st of February. And with that, I would turn to you for any questions that you may have.
Any questions for our staff? Seeing none, any comment by Councilman Fonzie, given that you are the chair of this committee, this is going to?
I don't anticipate any problems. They've always gone very smoothly and quickly. They've been approved regularly. I would expect that to happen again.
Very good. Well, thank you for chairing that committee. Is there any member of the public wishing to comment on this item? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment. Bring it back to the board for a motion.
Make a motion that we approve the successor agency, approve the draft recognized obligation payment schedule ROPS for the period of July 1st, 2017 through June 30th, 2018, or Op 17-18, including the administrative budget pursuant to health and safety code.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilman Burbeau. A roll call, please.
And I'd like to ask real quick the city attorney. I noticed that Jerry was talking about the board and board members, et cetera, but I have them, I've always had them down as council members because it does say that it's the council representing, serving a successor agency. I just want to make sure the
final record is correct. It is the city council that serves
so
as a successor agency.
Calling them council members is okay when I...
Yes, you can call them council members.
I want to
members.
Make sure. Thank you.
We've been called worse. Go ahead.
Not by me, though. Okay, roll call. Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Councilmember Burbeau.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item is board announcements and reports. Seeing none, we will adjourn this meeting and go on to our third and final meeting of the evening, the Public Financing Authority of Atascadero. And I'll begin with a roll call.
Now, these are board members, so I'm going to be calling you that way. Board Member Burbeau, this is roll call.
Here.
Board Member Sturdivant.
Here.
Board Member Moreno.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie.
Here.
Chairperson O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First item is approval of agenda. I will so move. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion by Board Chairperson O'Malley, seconded by
Vice Chair
Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Board Member Moreno.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Board Member Sturdivant.
Yes.
Board Member Burbeau.
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie.
Yes.
Chairperson O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item is community forum. Any member of the public wishing to speak on any item under our jurisdiction, not on the agenda. Seeing no one approach, we'll close that public community forum, bring it back to council, and apparently we have next on the agenda, at least what I have, is board announcements and reports.
I think it's consent calendar.
But I have it listed after the board.
You're right, it says board announcements and reports.
So I'm going to go with what we have here. Because I don't expect any. None? So we'll go on to consent calendar, and maybe we'll have a different agenda next time we meet.
I move approval of the consent calendar.
So, second.
Of a motion by Board Vice Chair Fonzie, seconded by Board Member Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Board Member Sturdivant?
Yes.
Board Member Burbeau?
Abstain, as I was not here.
Board Member Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And with that, we are adjourned from our last meeting of the day.